For City Council, I'll ask our City Attorney if there's anything to report.
There is no reportable action.
Very good. Thank you. We'll call our regular session to order, and we will begin normally with a Pledge of Allegiance. And we are fortunate to have Mr. Ted Nugent here this evening from Boy Scout Troop number 150. We'll ask him to come forward and take the lead.
Hello. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
That's one of the clearest pledge of allegiances we've had, young man. Very good job. Thank you. We'll go ahead with roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Here.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Here.
Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Here.
Mayor O'Malley?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. First item is the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilman Sturdivant, seconded by Councilwoman Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. We have no presentations this evening. Next item is the consent calendar, which is considered items of routine nature that won't be discussed in depth unless a member of the council pulls an item or a member of the public. Is there any council member wishing to pull an item from consent? Any member of the public wishing to pull an item for further discussion? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion on the consent calendar.
So approval of the...
A motion by Mayor Pro Tem Moreno, seconded by Councilman Sturdivant. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next agenda item is updates from the city manager.
Thank you, Mayor. The first item I have to report on is something that we've all been looking forward to and are excited about, and those are our first two road projects from our tax measure E14 and F14. So a groundbreaking ceremony was held on June 16th for the first two street rehab projects. The section of Alamo Avenue between Berinda and Rosario and the section of Honda Avenue between Berinda and Traffic Way will be resurfaced in the coming weeks. Both projects are being constructed by local contractors. Michael Frederick Paving will do one of the projects, and Sousa Construction will do the other. So we're looking forward to a ribbon cutting here soon, have completion of our first two projects with many, many more to come over the summer. We also have the annual Lakeside Wine Festival that's coming up. It's going to be held at the Atascadero Lake Park from 4 to 8 p.m. this Saturday. Ticket holders will get free after-hours VIP admission to the Charles Paddock Zoo beginning at 4 p.m. And during the VIP event at the zoo, the zoo staff will be holding keeper talks. So there'll be four animal talks that are going to be held at specific times there at the zoo, so you can learn even a little bit more on some of the secrets from our keepers. They'll be talking about first talk will be meet and greet the animals, visit the red pandas, visit the Madagascar animals, and a tiger enrichment visit. So it should be a fantastic event. The children of the Atascadero Children's Center have created zoo animal-themed donation boxes that will be showcased throughout the wine festival and at the zoo entrance. Those are adorable, by the way. Thank you to the Atascadero Children's Center for doing that for us. And while enjoying the wine festival, visitors will have an opportunity to support our zoo animals and assist us in our conservation efforts. There'll be a free shuttle available provided by Slow Safe Ride, which will provide cool and comfortable transportation to and from several of our hotels to the wine festival throughout the afternoon and evening. And most importantly, a tremendous amount of thanks should be given to the Wine Festival Committee for all of the volunteer work that goes into this fundraising event. Not only do they hold an incredible event here in our city, but at the same time, they manage to raise critically needed funds for our Charles Paddock Zoo. a lot of the improvements that you see going on at the zoo right now and that have occurred over the last year are directly a result of the fundraising that occurs at this event. So thank you to the Wine Festival and to the all the volunteers that make that such a success. The Charles Paddock Statue Project. So the new statue, which honors the zoo's founder, Charles Paddock, is nearly ready for the unveiling ceremony to be held on July 4th at 2 p.m. near the entrance of the Charles Paddock Zoo. You can see from these next few slides the progress as it's being made from start to finish. The Vandenberg chapter of the Military Order of World Wars, Assemblyman Kacho Ashajian, Councilmember Kelly, Chuck Ward, and the artist Mark Greenaway are all to be commended for the collaborating to help bring this project to fruition. So it's an exciting project, and we're excited to have that going. So the 4th of July in Atascadero. So the San Luis Obispo County Band will play from 10 to 11:30 a.m. at the Lake Bandstand, and we'll have them, in addition to the Charles Paddock statue unveiling at 2 p.m., which also will be celebrating the 60th anniversary of the Charles Paddock Zoo. The zoo is a great way to spend a few hours on the 4th of July. As always, the zoo is very reasonably priced, and admission prices are available on our website. Make sure to stop and see our new baby flamingo that is nearly 5 weeks old. Very, very cute. Even cuter in person than in the pictures. He's in good health and growing very quickly and has been a big draw for the zoo over the last few weeks, understandably so. We have been lucky in the past to have a great group of volunteers put on an old-fashioned 4th of July celebration at the Lake Park. While there won't be the game boost and some of the other familiar festivities at the Lake Park this year on the 4th, I want to take this opportunity to thank those that in the past have made the 4th of July even more special here in Atascadero and the time and effort that they put into making that event, including several council members and former council members that put in a lot of hours. Again, we won't be having those activities this year, but thank you to those that have dedicated their time.
And City Manager, if I may, I think before we move on to another topic, I would like to give Councilman Kelly an opportunity to maybe say a little bit about the bronze and the dedication that'll be occurring. He's kind of spearheaded this project, and
that'd
might be a good time if you'd like to take it away, Bob.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's really been an exciting project in what really goes into fabricate a bronze statue like this. So several processes go into it. Last week, a group of us went up there, and we saw the pouring of the bronze to make the statue. And what happens is it's cut into pieces, and I think in one of the photos you saw there, it was the actual bronze head of Charles Paddock. I think we did a couple boots that day and an arm. And we're in the process right now of welding all of these pieces back together to form the statue, and then they get into the patina part of it and the base that it sits on. And it's just incredible to have followed this project from, you know, the idea to the clay and what have you. And Mark Greenaway has done a fantastic job on it. And I really have to commend Chuck Ward. He's just been, you know, nothing less than a bulldog in promoting this project and what have you. We're still a little bit short on donations, but we have enough to go forward and put the statue in. So if there is anyone out there that wishes to donate it, there will be an opportunity to do that. And even at the wine festival that evening, we will have a table set up at the location where the statue is going to be. And I certainly would invite the community to come out on the July the 4th and watch the unveiling. It's truly a work of art, and I think it's going to be a great addition to the city. And I think once the people see this statue, they'll really be impressed with it. And we have to remember that, you know, Charles Paddock was a very important part of this city to start that zoo. It's one of the premier spots that we have in town, and our promotion program is going to promote the lake park and the zoo. So I think it's a great addition to Atascadero. I want to thank everybody that's been involved with the donations and what have you, and I especially would like to thank Rochelle and staff. She's been more than cooperative in helping us with this project and getting it through the city red tape and what we have to do to get it in place. So just thank everybody for being involved with it, and thank you, Tom, for the time.
Thank you. And I'll mention for our Boy Scout guest tonight, Charles Paddock was my Boy Scout leader when I was your age or younger, and he definitely put us to work out there at the zoo. And so, again, it just shows you what community effort can do. We have a zoo as a result of that, and this is a commemoration of his work. And we do want to especially thank Bob for having a vision of this for some time. But Chuck Ward, again, you won't have to hide from Chuck very much longer. He's about done with this project.
I would say if you want to get rid of Chuck, give him a donation. That's just about what it's going to take.
Well, that's what I did, so yeah. Thank you.
No, Tom, I'd like to commend you. Tom was one of the first persons that stepped up and gave a $1,000 donation towards the project. And anyone that gives $1,000 or more, there will be a wall of recognition with your name on it. And I think I would like to add that this has all been private money. There hasn't been a penny of taxpayer money or city money spent on this. Great project, I hope.
Thank you. Well, let's continue on with the city manager report.
Thank you. I'm going to actually turn it over to the fire chief and have him give you a brief update on some of the fires that have been going on around town here.
Very good. And after that, are we going to have our own little fire, perhaps? Okay. Go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. This past weekend was a challenging weekend for the entire county, North County in particular. And I think it's always interesting, and while we can look at these pictures and see the progress that was made on this structure fire, what's important to realize is the amount of teamwork that went into successfully and safely mitigating these incidences. We had dispatch, who was terrific in dispatching our staff and county staff. We had a lot of help come into this fire, and I'll talk about the dynamic fire here in just a second. The law enforcement was terrific. We had four or five officers out there that assisted with evacuations. The fire was called into the department around 11:30 in the morning, and we had augmented staffing on for the day due to another event that was taking place in Atascadero. North County actually was upstaffed due to this event in North County. But ironically, the first due engine on this was a fire truck that was at a local grocery store in Atascadero, and it was a Cal Fire fire truck who was merely shopping. Their home fire station is out at Park Hill Road in Santa Margarita. And that engine happened to see our command vehicle zipping through town going to this fire, and they happened to see the smoke and decided to follow and see if they could assist. And when that engine pulled up, the hood of that engine is what you can see in the picture right there. Dean Parasick, the incident commander, jumped out, and they said, "Would you like us to assist? We were not dispatched." He wanted to make it really clear that they were not on the initial dispatch. And Dean turns around to him and says, "Yeah, you're going to be first water." Well, they were shopping. They were not going to an emergency, so they were dressed about like I'm dressed right now in a Class B uniform. So they immediately had to jump into their turnout structural firefighting gear before they could begin to fight the fire. Within moments, two additional Atascadero engines came on scene. We had equipment from Templeton, Paso Robles, County Fire, Atascadero State Hospital, obviously our Atascadero Police and Dispatch, and the team effort is what brought this incident under control. We had no injuries on this incident. A couple of the challenges, as you can imagine, trailer parks are very, very tight. One of our biggest priorities was to protect the exposures to the left and to the right of this, but you always have to think four-dimensionally. You have to think underneath the vehicle, to left, right, above it, and behind it. And so we had a grass fire, which you can't see, behind this. We also had a natural gas meter that was involved in fire, and it ruptured the natural gas meter on the pressure side. So we had 60 PSI of natural gas coming out under pressure, putting up about an 8 or 10-foot flame. And all we could hear was the noise. We didn't know if it was a propane tank. Propane tanks, when they're flame impinged, tend to explode. So we had a very, very dynamic incident. We couldn't get close to the wildland fire because of the propane tank that we thought was venting. Fortunately, later it turned out to be the natural gas meter. But we also had grass fire creeping to a tented structure. So a tented structure is a structure that has a tent on it due to termites. And so we had incredibly poisonous gas that was inside this tent. And one of our priorities, believe it or not, one of our first priorities was to keep the fire from getting into that tent and releasing that poisonous gas into the environment without it being controlled by professionals that manage the fumigation. So with everyone's help, and in about 30 minutes, we brought this fire under control. We found out that the gas meter was, in fact, a gas meter, not a propane tank, much to our relief. And within 30 minutes of putting this fire under control, we had a request for a structure fire in the city of Paso Robles, and we had one of the city of Paso Robles' engines at our incident on our fire. So we released their engine, and we sent one of our engines to assist Paso Robles in that structure fire. That was another complex fire that was energized the entire time, and they actually couldn't put out the main body of fire until PG&E got on scene and actually disconnected the power. Within 30 minutes of losing that engine or sending that engine to Paso Robles, if you'll turn to the next slide, the Las Palitas fire started at Park Hill Road in Las Palitas, and immediately we were tapped by the county for an additional engine. And what always is moving and happening behind the scenes that most people don't know is the night before, this CAL FIRE sent out 14 of their own engines to our neighboring counties to help them with fires. So our first in engine from the county came from Park Hill Road, or actually Station 30 up in Paso, and that engine was a Riverside CAL FIRE unit. It wasn't even a local unit. Those pieces of equipment were released as fast as we could release them, and they responded to the Park Hill fire. The Atascadero engine, the same engine that was on the trailer fire, went to the Park Hill fire, and they were out there until yesterday afternoon. They came back about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. On top of that, one of our fire captains is a strike team leader, and he went out and formed a strike team of 5 engines that included engines from the North County and South County, and Captain Scott Hallett then was the leader of that little pack or group of fire engines for the next couple of days out there. To give you the stats on the Las Palitas fire, to date, as of this afternoon at 3:30 when I printed the status sit rep on this incident, it's burned 1,800 acres. It's 90% contained. Full containment is expected tomorrow at 5. Cost to date to suppress the fire is $2.8 million. There was over 100 homes threatened. There was 18 homes destroyed and 3 damaged. And that's kind of a synopsis in a nutshell of our busy, busy weekend. Law enforcement had equally as busy of a weekend. With that, if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Thank you. Any council questions?
Wasn't there a ceremony going on at the same time for one of our firefighters?
Yeah.
That kind of maybe got ruined that
yeah.
day.
Yeah, just a small ceremony. One of our firefighters was getting married. And that was at 5 o'clock. And my first thought was, well, if you're a firefighter and you schedule your wedding during fire season, this can happen. So unfortunately, probably, Casey, I don't know, 10 or 12 of us didn't go because we were on calls and our spouses didn't go without us, I'm assuming. So, yeah, attendance was a little short. I'm sure they paid for some food that was not consumed.
Thank you. Well, as appropriate, please pass on our thanks to the CAL FIRE that really kind of went above and beyond just responding before required. But again, I think that's the fire service folks are very camaraderie-ish and do help out at any time. So thank you for that report. Any other?
Yes, I have one more item. Last but not least, today is Marcia's birthday, and she chose to spend it here with us at the city council meeting. So we do have cake in the back for everybody that is here. We'd like to have a slice of cake and wish Marcia a happy birthday.
Well, and we are going to take a little break. Just maybe a 5-minute plus break, just because Marcia is special to us, not only functions as a deputy director, but is the elected city clerk, really does 2 jobs for the price of 1, and we appreciate all that you've done, and I'm glad you're finally old enough to drink.
And Tom, aren't you going to sing for her since you're the mayor?
I was thinking we could all do that off record there. So we'll just take a brief break. Please, everyone, join for some cake. Thank you. Welcome back from our brief break celebrating our city clerk's birthday. And that concludes our city manager report, I believe, as well. We'll move on to community forum, which is an opportunity for you to speak to us on any item that is not on the agenda that is under our jurisdiction. Welcome.
Good evening. I'm Dale Gustin. I'm from Paso Robles, but I've always enjoyed the camaraderie between Atascadero and Paso Robles. One of the things is that in 83, I helped start the wine festival in Paso Robles. And, you know, it was a huge success. But I got to admit, your committee has done much better job with your Atascadero Wine Festival, and I like it better than ours in Paso. And on that note, the one in Paso Robles does not benefit any other entity like you do for the zoo. My hat's off to you for that and compliments to that.
Thank you. And let the record show, the one of the original creators of the Paso Wine Festival has said it here, best wine festival in North County. Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening. John Neal with Atascadero Mutual Water. I thought I'd give your board a quick update on our water conservation progress and just a brief update of what our water resources are looking like right now. If you recall, last April, the governor declared a drought emergency in the state due to a lack of response by water purveyors. He mandated this May that various municipal water purveyors conserve. The mandate he imposed on us was 28% reduction compared to 2013. I'm glad to report that we've been exceeding that goal. Our water use reduction in June of this year was 35%. Our water use reduction in May this year was 35%. And it was 27% in April. Needless to say, it's been a pretty heavy hit on the revenue. But it's a good thing our shareholders have really stepped up to the plate. They understand that we are in a very serious drought, and they're making very good efforts to conserve water in conformance with the governor's mandate. As far as water resources, a lot of positive things there. April 1st, we began taking water from the Nacimiento Water Project. We're currently discharging about 500 acre feet a month into our recharge basin, which is adjacent to the Salinas River near the Lake Subdivision. Over the course of the last 2 months, water levels in our well field have come up 20 feet. It's really impressive to see how it's working. So we're actually more than offsetting our pumping in the basin. In fact, I ran those rough numbers the other day, and our net pumping from the Atascadero Basin so far this year is 50 acre feet. So if you combine what we pumped, about 1,300 acre feet, you subtract what we've discharged into our recharge basin from the Nacimiento Water Project, and you subtract what the city contributes to the basin through the wastewater facility, our net impact on that basin is 50 feet. Anecdotally, we've heard from our neighbors east of the river, water levels are holding true in their wells. In some cases, those well levels have come up. So, again, very positive. We're fortunate E.G. Lewis cited the city where he did. We have really good geology, and because of the entity that we are, we've been able to manage that water resource effectively. We're still working to form a groundwater sustainability agency in the Atascadero Basin with Templeton. We've hired a consultant. The water company's hired a consultant. To perform a groundwater or prepare a groundwater sustainability plan for the basin, and that work is underway currently. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Any other member of the public wishing to speak? Seeing no one come forward, we will close public comment, bring it back to council, and I would like to speak on behalf of our city to the water company. I think they've done an excellent job of managing. Just as a comparison to Sacramento, where I think much of our water problem originates, they still do not have a tiered water rate, which means everyone, no matter what their usage is, pays the same amount, which is, of course, very unfortunate if you've ever studied economics. because in Atascadero we've always had a tiered rate structure. So if you use more water, you pay more per thousand gallons. So I think that means that high users are basically going to subsidize lower users, which is actually fair in an environment where you're trying to encourage conservation. And as was said on many fronts, we've really done a pretty good job of conservation in our community and in our city. Thanks to the water company for their management, and we thank all of you as citizens that have really done a good job on conservation. With that and community forum closed, we'll move on to our first public hearing, which is the B1 Downtown Parking and Business Improvement Area, the confirmation of the annual assessment. And first we'll go through with any ex parte communication. I'll just go from my left to my right if there is any. And seeing none on that item, we'll go ahead with a staff report by Deputy City Manager Marcia Torgerson.
Thank you, Mayor O'Malley. As you mentioned, this is the Downtown Parking and Business Improvement Area item about the confirmation of the annual assessment. I did not create a PowerPoint, so I'm going to be brief with this. This was a business improvement area that was created back in 1986 by the City Council. It wasn't actually put into effect until 2000. And the purpose of it, and I'll read this to you, was for the acquisition, construction, or maintenance of parking facilities, decoration of public places, promotion of public events, and general promotion of business activities in the downtown area. So again, like I said, the City Council actually instituted this in 2000. Then in 2010, the Council decided to reduce the assessment to zero, and the purpose of that was as a stimulus program to encourage downtown businesses, so they didn't have to pay the assessment after that and continue each year here. As required by law, the Council last meeting voted for a resolution of intention to let people know we're going to have a public hearing tonight about this. And so following the public hearing, it's staff's recommendation that you adopt the resolution that would set that assessment at zero again. So if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
And thank you.
There
I
you
think
go.
I have my mic on here. Any council questions? Seeing none, I will open it up to the public and see if anyone would like to comment on this item. Seeing no one come forward, we'll bring it back to the council for further discussion, deliberation, or a motion.
I'll make a motion that the council adopt the draft resolution confirming the annual assessment for the downtown parking and business improvement area for fiscal year 2015 and 16 at zero.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilman Fonzie, seconded by Councilman Sturtevant. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturtevant?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Our next item is regarding the assessment of an ongoing tourism tax. It's referred to as the transient occupancy tax charged to everyone that has a lodging establishment in our city. And since I own one myself, I need to step down from this particular item because it has to do with fees. I am allowed to be involved on other topics related to this industry because of just the way the rules are structured. But when it comes to fees, I am to step down. So with that, I'm going to turn the rest of this item over to Mayor Pro Tem Moreno and take it away.
Thank you. So this is regarding Atascadero Tourism Business Improvement District fiscal year confirmation of annual assessment. So we'll start with ex parte from my left to my right. Any?
No,
none. Okay. And with that, our Deputy City Manager, Marcia Torgerson, will give us a staff report.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Moreno. And to clarify, when Mayor O'Malley was abstaining, he mentioned TOT for transient occupancy tax. This is actually separate from TOT. The TOT is the 10% that the city has adopted from years ago. The Tourism Business Improvement District, the TBID, is the additional 2% that we have been doing since 2013. So here again, the city established the TBID, or the Tourism Business Improvement District, in 2013. And the activities to be funded by this assessment on lodging businesses is promotion and marketing programs to promote the city as a tourism destination. So there's the difference between those two districts. The Streets and Highway Code, which is the same code that dictates over the other district, requires, again, that the TBID board submit an annual report to the council every year to explain what the fees they have collected and what they plan on spending them on. And they have to submit that to the city for approval, and then you hold this public hearing. You did see that annual report at the last meeting and approved it, and now we're here at the public hearing to receive public comment prior to assessing for the next year. So following this public hearing, the same as with the last district we just talked about, it's staff's recommendation that you adopt the proposed resolution, which would then set that levy for another year. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer.
Thank you, Marcia. Any council questions? Seeing none, I will open up to public. Anyone wishing to speak to this item? Welcome.
Dale Augustin, again, from Paso Robles. As I mentioned, I helped start the wine festival in Paso Robles, and our goal was to increase tourism. Well, I think it worked, and I think it worked for all of North County because wine industry has grown immensely in all of the North County, and that has benefited the hotel and tourism business. And I was overwhelmed that all the hotels came on board with this extra TOT and said that they're willing to pony up with that and help the tourism. So I encourage you to vote for this.
Thank you. Any other members of the public wishing to speak? Seeing none, I'll close public comment and bring it back to council for discussion or a motion.
Make a motion that the council adopt the draft resolution confirming the annual assessment for the Tascadero Tourism Business Improvement District fiscal year 2015-16.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Sturdivant, a second by Councilmember Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
Thank you. And now we will have Mayor O'Malley back.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is amendments to the fee schedule. And before we begin, there is another slight complication. I'll have our city attorney explain.
Is mic on? Okay. This an item involving fees, and included within the fees are some fees for the use of city facilities. Some of those city facilities, such as the pavilion and the rotunda, are available for rent as a wedding venue. And since Mayor O'Malley owns the Portola Inn with his wife, and they are also a venue for weddings, it's my recommendation that Mayor O'Malley not vote on the fees for those city facilities. So in order for this item to proceed, then, it's my recommendation that we separate the staff report into two parts. The first part of the staff report will address city fees other than the city facility fees, and then there will be a motion and a vote, and Mayor O'Malley can vote on that. And then Mayor O'Malley will need to recuse himself on the second part. That would include a staff report on the city fees portion of the item.
Go ahead, take some extra time if you need it.
Well, I think I'll stop now, but as I was saying. So the second part of this will be the staff report on the city facilities fees and then a vote on that. So basically we're just splitting up the report into that part that Mayor O'Malley can vote on and that he can't vote on.
Thank you. Is there any objection by council to so bifurcate our item? Then with that, I'll ask, first we will go through ex parte, which is if any of us have had any conversations with anyone outside of this public process that might have influenced our thinking on this item, we disclose that to you. I'll just go to my left, to my right, if there's been any ex parte you'd like to disclose. I don't see any. So we'll go ahead with a staff report on the first part of this item.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. We will go ahead and continue this item then on the first portion of the fees, excluding the facility piece. So the item before you is related to the update of service fees for the services that we charge in the city. A full fee study was performed last year in 2014 by revenue cost specialist, and the purpose of that study was to determine the city cost for providing services to the community. These costs were determined and recommended fees were developed and presented to council for consideration. The council did adopt the updated fee schedule at that time, last year about this time, and council directed the staff to bring fees back annually to be able to keep up with the Consumer Price Index, or CPI. The CPI adjustment for the year ending 2014 is 1.36%. Most of the fees in the draft fee schedule reflect the CPI increase of that 1.36%. Some fees, however, are fixed by state laws, so those are maxed out at the state law amount, of course. Additionally, some of the recreation-related fees have been added or changed, adjusted, as per our policy that kind of allows us to do the market rate and according to cost recovery guidelines that you have set. And then if adopted tonight, the amended fee schedule that will go into effect in 60 days. And with that, I will entertain any questions.
Any council questions? Seeing none, I'll open it up to the public for any questions or comments on this item. Seeing none approach, we'll bring it back to council for further deliberation or a motion.
I'd like to just deliberate a tiny
sure.
bit before a motion. I think actually this policy is very prudent to adjust this annually. We've done it in the past where we haven't. We've waited a period of years, and there's a big fee jump, and everybody squawks. This makes it much less painful for those in the public and keeps us right on board to pay our own way.
Thank you. And I understand that might be extra work on staff. I'd like to break and hear some input from staff. And similarly, would it be prudent to consider every 2 years since we have a two-year budget cycle? I don't know. What's the difference in staff use of because we have let some of these fees not be reviewed for like a number of years in some cases, and that's been a concern. So given the range of possibilities, would you like to comment?
Sure. It does actually take some staff time, but, there's always a balance, too. We kind of catch up on the fees earlier as well, so there is some recovery piece there as well. So there's a benefit either way, I think.
Okay, so it sounds like nothing particularly negative either way from staff, so that's something we could consider. Any other questions from council to consider? Because we could make a motion and you could modify from staff's recommendation.
I'll make a motion that the council adopt draft resolution establishing a schedule of fee and charges for city services.
Second that, and that would be minus anything related to city facility fees, so the right. non-facility fees. Second.
Yes. We have a motion by Councilman Fonzie, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Moreno. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes.
I didn't hear that. Was it a yes? And Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
4-1, motion passes.
Thank you. And now we'll go to the second part of item 3, and I'll turn that over to Mayor Pro Tem Moreno.
Okay, so looking at the amendments to the fee schedule for city facilities fees, Do we have any ex parte? Nope. And let's go to Jerry again.
Yes, so I don't have anything really
nothing
additional
to
add
right. In
addition to what we've already presented. So this would cover the facility fees as well, and it's
okay.
Pretty much just a 1.3.
Okay, great. So any questions, Council? No? I'll open it up to the public if anyone would like to comment or ask a question. Seeing none, I will close public comment and bring it back to Council for deliberation or a motion.
Make a motion we adopt draft resolution for the city facilities fees, fee increase.
A little discussion. I'm sorry I didn't jump in time, but we use the word wedding in here, and I think maybe more appropriately it should say ceremony, because there could be a bar mitzvah, there could be an anniversary party. I think saying wedding isn't necessarily covering all the bases in terms of the fees, particularly for City Hall.
Which page are you looking at?
Let me check and see. One moment.
I think it was agenda package page 94.
Thank you. Yes, down at the bottom where it's on the City Hall rentals, it says wedding there, wedding photography. It could be other types of photography, outdoor wedding ceremonies, which could be other ceremonies. If we leave out those words wedding, it would be more inclusive.
I should say that when I, in my introductory comments, used weddings, that was to be by way of example, but you're absolutely correct that we're talking about events, whatever they might be, that would be held at a city facility where a fee is paid to use the facility for that event.
Thank you.
Any other?
Could we make the modification to the motion that we leave out the word wedding on those?
Well, but there is something in here about wedding ceremonies. People can do other things. I don't think this precludes other ceremonies.
Well, it needs to be modified to include those other ceremonies, not just wedding.
So what sort of, wedding and other ceremonies? I don't know that we want to list out every possible ceremony.
I was thinking leave out the word wedding and just say ceremony, which is inclusive of all ceremonies, including wedding.
Or you could use the word event, because some of these may not be ceremonies.
Sure, that would work.
Okay. Does that work? All right. So you've seconded it with that change
yes.
in verbiage. Okay. So we have a motion by Councilmember Sturdivant, a second by Councilmember Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes.
3-1, motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next item, number 4, is the operating and capital budget.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor and Council. The item we have before you tonight is the 2-year operating and capital budget, and we're excited to present this to you tonight. Just in summary, just kind of to go over it, the council has a very effective financial strategy. It's been very effective for years, and it is continuing to provide us some opportunities for this budget cycle. The priorities in this budget are all of the council's goals that have been identified earlier in the year. The budget takes advantage of the city's strengths and then proves its weaknesses. And the reserves will once again be supplementing operations. The city has a very comprehensive approach to budget that starts and ends with the council. During the council's annual strategic planning process, council identifies the priority goals that become the basis of the city's budget. Staff works together to develop the department budgets based on existing service levels. While action plans are developed in order to implement the council goals, revenue projections are being further refined. This process allows for target level of expenditures for providing existing service levels and implementing Council's goals. The budget is reviewed in detail with the Finance Committee and then presented to Council for approval. The Council has the authority at any time during the year to make changes to the budget. The key priorities are, of course, your Council goals, including economic development, connection between City Council and the community, common sense regulation and reform, high-quality public safety services, Atascadero Lake Park, Pavilion, Veterans Memorial and Zoo, environmental stewardship, staffing, the roads program, and promotions. There are a very long list of success stories that have been accomplished over the last 2 years from this last budget cycle. The focus was on Council's priorities for that two-year period, and a very small sampling is represented here, including reaccreditation of the Charles Paddock Zoo, improvements to zoo exhibits and the infrastructure, assisting in the process to open up the Marriott Spring Hill Suites, lake dredging to improve the lake water quality, historic City Hall project completion and reopening, and the Zoo Green parking lot. We also coordinated with the Chamber of Commerce and the business community to enhance commercial signage. These are just a very few of the many accomplishments over the past 2 years. The Council's current priorities will set the stage for the next two-year cycle. We see several trends that are also impacting the development of the budget. The one positive trend is the sales tax measure, the F-14 money. This new revenue from the additional half-cent sales tax that the Atascadero voters approved last November will be used in addition to the current roads program to expand the number of roads that will be repaired or treated. Other trends don't have such a positive effect on the budget, unfortunately. Heightened environmental awareness and the protection of our environment continues to affect the city. Our community values a healthy outdoor environment, and there are many agencies other than the city that are tasked with maintaining or improving the environment through regulation. As you know, one of the Council's new goals is to promote common sense regulation and reform in a manner that meets both environmental and financial goals. Achieving this balance continues to be a challenge for the city and the budget. The effects of the state's action continue to impact the city as well, particularly related to the dissolution of redevelopment, but also related to such items as increased levels of reporting and reductions in grant funding. Other trends increase costs of labor. Regulations such as the Affordable Care Act, the California Healthy Workplace Healthy Families Act of 2014, the California minimum wage, and cost increases in pensions and health care all increase the cost of the city's labor force and increase associated reporting and compliance. The city uses an accounting method called fund accounting. This is used because some of the money that the city receives has restrictions on it, so it can only be used for specific items. In fact, the city has over 40 different funds, or buckets, if you will, that are accounted for and reported separately because of these restrictions. Each of these buckets is reported in the budget with separate pages for revenues, expenses, and overall summary. All of the funds that are combined in summary graphs on pages B1 through B10 of the budget. However, because the general fund is the fund for which the Council has the most discretion, that is the one that we'll focus on tonight. The general fund is the city's primary operating fund. The general fund revenues, such as property tax, sales tax, TOT, service fees, and interest, are all deposited into the general fund and then used on general fund expenditures, such as police officers, engineering, zoo food, water for the parks, recreation activities, firefighters, that sort of thing. Although we track the amount of each type of revenue that is received, once it's deposited into the general fund, they become a collective resource we call the general fund balance. Out of that general fund balance, we are able to pay general fund expenditures. There's no direct one-to-one dollar correlation when we spend it out of the general fund. The new sales tax measure F14 funds are part of the general fund. However, in order to be as transparent as possible about the receipts and the expenses of the F14 money, we have separated those funds out for this budget process, and all the discussions tonight regarding the general fund will not include those funds in particular. The F14 funds are included in the general fund for financial statement purposes. This pie chart indicates the average percentage of each revenue source that makes up the general fund. Atascadero is heavily reliant on property taxes. While these revenues tend to be more stable than other sources of revenue, they are also slower to move with changes in the economy. Property tax revenues continue to range between 40 to 45% of total general fund revenues. We are seeing more good news on the property tax values as they continue to increase. The County of San Luis Obispo is estimating about a 4% overall growth in the county on the secured roll for 2015-16. In Atascadero, we're projecting about a 5% increase in the secured roll for 15-16, resulting from increases in real estate property values, increased building activity, largely due to the focus on economic development we have here, and revaluing of the Prop 8 adjustments. As you may recall, the fair market value of many of the properties in the city were reduced to a point where the county assessor wrote down the assessed values of the property. And these Prop 8 adjustments are now increasing in value once again, so we're seeing that come back. In 16-17, we're expecting a growth of about 4% in current secured over the prior year, and going forward, kind of slow and steady growth. Things are definitely moving in the right direction, but we're going to have to continue to have patience in kind of growing it back. The city receives about 15 to 20% of its general fund revenues from sales and use tax-based revenues. Sales tax is the most volatile of the major revenues and is closely tied to state and national indicators, such as consumer confidence, availability of money, savings rates, and other trend projections. This discussion includes only revenues from the base sales tax that we receive and does not include that extra half cent, so just to be clear on that. Sales tax revenues are projected to be about $3.7 million in 15-16, which includes a little bit of a one-time bump from the wind-down of the state's triple flip, which is a whole other story I can explain if you'd like. But for 16-17, we're expecting it to be about 3.5, so we'll get a little extra benefit next fiscal year. The council's focus on economic development and improvements in the economy are showing up in the sales tax numbers. Walmart and the surrounding commercial area are expected to provide an additional boost to revenue beginning in 17-18. Other revenues include the transient occupancy tax, or TOT, building permit activity, franchise fees, and service fees. The Marriott Spring Hill Suites is now open and is expected to boost TOT starting this month. The synergy effect of Council's focus on promotions, along with the Atascadero Tourism Business Improvement District and the Countywide Tourism Marketing District, are projected to continue to grow the TOT revenue. Building permit activity has been rather volatile over the past decade with the drop in the economy, but is relatively strong now and is expected to remain steady through this budget cycle and beyond. Many of the projects that were in the Council's dormant permit program were the first to come back to life when the economy started to gain strength again, and since then have been developed, and many more are in the works. Franchise fees are tax charged on cable, electric, garbage disposal, natural gas, wastewater, recycling, landfill, Those are based on revenues collected by those entities. Franchise fees are about $1 million a year for the city. Service fee revenues encompass many of the different reimbursable costs for the city-provided services. The fee schedule and the public hearing right before this one are great examples of those. Service fee revenues are projected to be about $1.8 million in 15-16 and about $1.9 million in 16-17. And the city is a service organization, so the largest part of the general fund expenditures are dedicated to employee services. About 72% of the average general fund expenditures for the 15-17 budget cycle will go toward the cost of employees. Currently, the city is in negotiations with all of the employee groups, and since new MOUs have not yet been executed, a modest allowance has been included in the proposed budget. Increases in CalPERS retirement costs to the city are also included in this employee services category. There have been a number of changes lately that affect the city's pension costs, including a change in the smoothing policy, changes to the risk pools, changes to the method of allocating the pool's unfunded liabilities, retiree life expectancy assumptions, and actual investment rates that differ from assumed rates. The known effect of these changes are included in the projected cost of employee services both during this budget cycle and in the 7-year projection. There is a comprehensive process that is completed on the staff level to provide the budget before you tonight. The labor cost worksheet is completed that includes estimated costs by person and department. Included in this worksheet are all of the authorized positions with an analysis of costs that includes estimated step increases, workers' comp, unemployment rates, CalPERS rates, including those changes discussed, and health insurance rates. Additionally, each department or division uses their prior budget cycle operating budget as a starting point to develop their next 2-year budget. The operating budgets are increased by a small percentage. For this current cycle, the operating target was a 4% increase for 15-16 over the prior year and a 2% increase for 16-17 over 15-16. The departments develop the cost to the best estimates of what expenses might occur in their departments for the next 2 years. However, the budgets are all very lean and there are many items that cannot be funded within the current targets. For these items, the departments fill out what we call supplemental requests or supplementals, which are just additional requests for funding above the amount that they can provide in their operating budget. These are some of the extras or supplementals that were funded in the draft budget that is before you. These were reviewed with the Finance Committee at the June 12th meeting. Items include costs for zoo animal food, production and mailing of the Atascadero Recreation Guide, medical supplies, Government Accounting Standards Board compliance, pavilion utilities, and for 6 new staffing positions, including an account clerk too, a police officer in the second year, a building inspector, a planner, an associate civil engineer, and a building maintenance worker. This pie chart shows the average expenditures by function for the 15-17 cycle. Public safety is just over half of the general fund expenditures. This is understandable considering that we are paying for public safety services, officers to patrol the streets, firefighters to respond to fires, dispatch to answer the 911 calls. Public safety is and has been a high priority for the council and the community, and this graph reflects that priority. And I don't expect you to read this tiny, tiny print, but I just wanted to let you know that there is a 7-year forecast on page B11 of your budget. Because we are spending more than we're bringing in, it's critical to constantly look ahead and make sure that at some point this trend reverses and that it's not a structural deficit. It's also important to continually monitor the level of reserves to ensure that there are funds available for this strategy and that we do not use too many of the reserves too quickly and put ourselves in a deficit position. Per council directions, the purse strings have been loosened up a bit in order to continue the momentum we're making on the key priorities. The projection in the 2013-15 budget last cycle was that we'd see a turnaround with a positive net income beginning in 17-18. In this current projection, we're looking at 2020-21. And even though it's been kind of pushed out a little bit, the city has been successful in finishing the year for the last several years better than anticipated. So the general fund reserve is actually healthier than previously anticipated. The reserve is expected to be almost $8.2 million, or 42.6% of general fund expenditures at the end of this fiscal year. And it's expected to be about $7 million, or 35.7% of general fund expenditures at the end of the budget cycle. And as always, and per council direction, these estimates continue to be conservative. As previously indicated, these figures here do not include any of the F-14 funds. This graph shows the general fund reserves as a percentage of general fund expenditures. The council's policy is to keep a percentage at 20% or above. The seven-year projection indicates that we will hit a low about 29.8 during the fiscal year 2019-2020 before beginning to climb back up. This level of reserves is consistent with the council's policy. And as always, we will continue to monitor this to make sure that we stay on track. Pages G11 through G13 of your budget have a two-year listing of all of the capital projects that are included in this budget. Over $19 million in projects are included, which is a pretty aggressive capital projects budget. Nick is going to be very busy. With some of the big ones including road projects, the Del Rio at 101 interchange, and the Centennial Bridge and Plaza Project, which is the pedestrian bridge from the Creekside building to the other side of the creek here. There are also a number of wastewater and other projects in there. The sales tax measure F-14 funds are included in the city's budget, not combined with the other general fund information, but they're included separately for clarity and transparency. In addition, they're also included in a separately bound book that is easier to kind of read and see. Revenues are expected to be about $1.91 million in 15-16 and about $1.95 million in 16-17. The projects are budgeted at about $1.76 million in 15-16 and about $1.88 million in 16-17. And a complete list of the roads that are included for the next five-year projection are in the budget document starting on page F2 and are also in this standalone document. The fiscal strategy has really provided the city a strong framework from which to operate. The strategy has allowed the city to maintain stable service levels even as the revenues dipped. I expect to continue to see slow and steady growth in the economy. Consistent with our strategy, the proposed budget includes use of about $1.2 million in reserves in total for both years. This judicious use of reserves will allow the city to maintain steady service levels until the economy catches back up and we start to again build reserves in 2020-21. The reserves remain sufficient through that period. This budget provides the organization with direction and tools necessary to pursue the council's goals, maintain quality city services, and continue to take advantage of our strengths and improve our weaknesses, and of course, would not be possible without the hard-working employees in the city and the council's policy that set our stage. With that, I will wrap up the presentation and be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Before we go to council questions, I'd like to ask Heather Moreno, who is chair of our finance committee that's reviewed this first, for any comments.
Thank you, Tom. Actually, I would really like to thank the director and her team. The amount of commitment and dedication hours that go into this document are incredible. As the director said, there are 40 funds plus or minus. So think of having to account separately for all of these different funds. And then think of there's different types of accounting depending on the type of fund that it is. Jerry's been with the department for many years, but this is her first year as director. She had many new people on her team. We had new department heads, and so getting numbers, it was a real effort. And you guys, you've done a wonderful job, and I thank you for that commitment, that effort that you put in.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll just expand that. I think we really have the dream team on finance, not only with the solid staff, but our city manager being the former finance director and been a CPA and an auditor, having that as a background as our city manager, and then having you come on, I think is great. Our finance team with Councilman Kelly, years of experience in private sector, and of course Councilman Moreno having worked as a CPA in some of the big accounting firms, having that as our review team. And of course we are all very thankful for Jerry Seebach as our city treasurer and well-known in our community. And again, we just thank you for all of the effort that all of you have put into reviewing this budget. And with that, we'll go on to council questions first. Any council questions? Seeing none, I will, before we go to public comment, again ask for ex parte, which again is we always disclose to you if we've had any input outside of this public process that may have influenced our decision, because we want you to know, and it's required by law that you hear from us if we have had any such discussion. So from my left to my right, any ex parte? None. I think most of us have worked on these budgets for so many years now. We have it fairly well understood. With that, then I will open it up to the public and ask for anyone who'd like to comment on this item.
Dale Gustin, I constantly monitor all the budgets of all the cities and the county in this county, because that's the lifeblood of our communities. And we were all hit pretty hard by the recession, but most of the cities in the North County planned pretty well, and I include Atascadero, and I think he did an excellent job.
Thank you. Any other member of the public wishing to comment? Welcome.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Charles Borbeau. I attended several, I think three out of four, however many finance committee meetings there were. Very interesting, because I'm one of those perverse people who finds this stuff very interesting. But my only concern had been the fact that we're pushing off going back into the black a few more years than had been previously estimated. But I certainly have to acknowledge, as Jerry pointed out, that our past, due to using conservative estimates, our past performance, particularly last year, has actually resulted in us having a higher fund balance than anticipated. So while it still concerns me that we're budgeting to be in the red for an additional 2 years, that our fund balance has actually increased. And so we are likely to achieve a positive result despite the negative numbers on these projections. And I also wanted to applaud the staff. I know it's very difficult to put this kind of product together. It's a hell of a lot of numbers and a hell of a lot of moving pieces. And I know not just they, but the entire staff works very hard on it. And we're lucky to have a highly competent executive team and team of department heads as well. But and I was glad to hear that Jerry indicated that they had received council direction to go ahead and spend a little more. Not glad to hear that you'd given that direction, but that the direction was there, and therefore you already understood that we would remain in the red for an additional few years. My only other comment would just be that it'd be ensuring everybody's cognizant of the increased personnel costs due to rising CalPERS costs. And as you go through negotiations, that even though we haven't been generous with raises in terms of people's take-home pay, we are paying more for our personnel, and they are benefiting from us paying more into CalPERS for them. And that should be taken into consideration during your closed sessions. So, in effect, people are getting a raise, in compensation. They're just not seeing it in their pocket. So, but overall, I think we'll see some positive results, and hopefully even better than expected down the road. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing no one approach, we'll close public comment, bring it back to council. I will respond to some of the public comment, then I will ask our finance director too as well. And coming about, we do take a very conservative approach, especially on reserves, for many years where other cities have not. We've aggressively set funds aside in a reserve system to plan for the very times we've gone through. I think it was a surprise to everyone how drastic this recession had been. But fortunately, many councils before us, including this council, planned for this. And so pretty significant reserves that we are not borrowing money to maintain service levels. We are basically spending down reserves that were set aside to level off those downturns in revenues through difficult times. So if something was planned for, and now that we see things turning around, and as in a sense we've had to draw on reserves less than anticipated, we also see the economy turning around, and there's a lot of opportunity coming our way. We have exhausted the backlog of permits that we had a program that helped stimulate our economy, and now we are wanting to be positioned to take advantage of the increasing economy that is hitting us. So that's why we are not just across the board spending more money on just any item. We are being very strategic and focusing on what we think will have the most potential to position for increased revenue in the future. Again, it's been a pretty strong emphasis on economic development, and you'll see that where that's where our focus of our activity is, and where we're willing to take a little more risk in investing in opportunities that we believe will position our city well as things look better. But we have the confidence and support that we have stronger reserves than most cities in case there is economic problems in the future. So that's my take on that item. I would want to give our department heads a chance to respond to anything, and then we'll go to council comments and questions.
I think you said it very well, Mayor. I don't have anything else to add.
Okay, well, thank you. Councilman Kelly.
Yes, I'd just like to add a comment. As I have great interest in the budget. I have since I've been on the city council, and I'm probably one of the few people that really enjoys going through the budget and going over the numbers. I've always been a number guy, and I do come in and ask the questions. And being on the finance committee this year gave me the opportunity to really delve in to the budget and how it really, really works. And I just want to compliment the staff, Jerry and Rochelle. I know at times we had to say, no, don't come back tomorrow. You guys don't need to work till midnight tonight and be here at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's how much work that they actually put into this thing. And I come from private enterprise, so at times I have difficulty on how governments operate. But I can rest assured and tell the people in our community that our staff has done a really, really good job of managing the money for the city so that the return goes back to the citizens, so you can actually see what we're doing. We're improving the roads and everything else as we went through. So, you know, I want to compliment all of the employees in the city, because every employee has contributed to try to save money and get the best for the dollar into the staff. So I want to thank you for really doing a nice job. I know in the past I've been critical, and I may be in the future, but I enjoy doing this, and you've done a fantastic job. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Kelly. Councilman Moreno.
I wanted to mention, too, you know, you talked about the booklet, and I think this is great, and I'm wondering how people, how citizens can get this information. This is the F-14 and the roads and the five-year projection for what's going to be happening. We're talking almost 19 miles of road that we're going to be repairing, rehabbing, all of that. So it's really exciting and some great information. I'm wondering how that can be reached. Okay. Can you give a specific?
It is. We are going to have, I think we actually already do have a section of our website devoted strictly to Measure F-14. And in there, we're going to be dropping every document, anything that has to do with where we're spending the money, anything on the creation of the oversight board minutes, pretty much a repository for anything related to those funds in that area. And that will be in there. Certainly, a lot of this information will also go out in the annual report that we talk about that we will be doing along with other information. So we really would like to get that information out, let everybody know what's going on.
And is there a special tab, like a pull-down, or where is it on the website?
I'm looking at David. I apologize. I haven't
okay.
looked
we can
at
come
it
back
myself.
To that. Okay. Okay. Thank you, David.
And while that's taking place, any other council questions, comments, deliberation? Go ahead, Councilwoman Fonzie.
Thank you. Just a question. I know that our oversight board for the tax sales tax hasn't met yet. Is it going to be provided to them, and we want to make sure that this is out there for everybody?
Yes, it absolutely will be provided to them. They will get not only a hard copy of this, but a lot of the other documents. We're in the process right now of assembling binders for them. We hope to meet sometime in the next 2 weeks. We just got the last name for our committee last week, and so I've been contacting the members to try and schedule something. It's harder to schedule 9 people than even the 5 of you during the summer, so it may be a little bit of a challenge. We have a process that we will be going through. We will be having Joe, I don't know if you remember, the engineer from PEI that came and talked to you. He will be talking to them about pavement condition index and critical point management and how the roads are selected for which roads will be improved, how they rise to the top and why they rise to the top. To get the most cost-effective solutions for our roads. And so we'll be doing that along with Jerry. We'll be doing an education segment on the city finances, what we've historically spent on roads, what we're going to continue to spend on roads in addition to the F-14 money. So we do have a whole program and binder that they will be receiving.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Sturdivant.
I just wanted to thank everyone involved with this budget. There's a tremendous amount of work here and the dedication. And also just to say that, you know, it's been a long, hard recession, and it's been difficult. And I'm really the strong approach that we have coming out of this and a balanced approach as we grow just is very evident in what's in this budget. So thank you. Thank you to everyone and all the hard work that you do. And we're all in this together.
Thank you. Maybe before we go further with council, I would like to give our city treasurer an opportunity to comment if you have anything to add.
Thank you, Mayor O'Malley. Not really. A lot of it has been said, and I was impressed with the work of the staff and the city's pleasing to see it turning around economically, and those purse strings are able to loosen up just a little bit, but you're certainly not going wild and on a spending spree. It's focused on your goals and things that I think the public supports and will appreciate. And so, yeah, it was a pleasure, a privilege to have one little part in that. And I guarantee you, there was a lot of questions. Council Member Kelly and Council Member Moreno, and I put them through their paces, and they responded, and they made changes as needed. Nothing major, but took input from us, and that was a very good process, I think.
Thank you. Thank you for your assistance. Any other council comments or deliberation, or make a motion? And, oh, thank you. We have up on the screen the web page that would direct you to the budget and also for our roads.
Yes, this is the home page on the city's website. And if you look down there under popular pages and latest news, it's the second item right now. As you click on that, it'll bring you to more and more information, and we'll continue to keep adding to this section.
Very good. Thank you for that update. I'm open for a motion by council.
I'll go ahead and make a motion if we're ready. I move that we adopt draft resolution adopting the budgets for 2015-2016 and the 16-17 fiscal years and delegating to the city manager the authority and implement same and adopt draft resolution amending fiscal year 14-15 budget and adopt draft resolution adopting fiscal year 15-16 annual spending limit.
I'll second.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Moreno, seconded by Councilman Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda, last one, is item 5, salaries and health, welfare, and retirement benefits for mayor, city council members, city clerk, and city treasurer. All of the elected positions with the city. And I will begin with ex parte communications by any of us. Again, from left to my right, I don't believe there's been any on this. And so we can move right into a staff report, which will be by our city attorney, Mr. Brian Pierick.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. We'll be discussing here the salaries and health and welfare and retirement benefits for the mayor, the city council members, the city clerk, and the city treasurer. The subject matter of city council salaries is covered by Government Code Section 36516, and that establishes what the salary is and the methods for permissible salary increases for both council members and elected mayors. Section 36516A provides that for cities with populations up to 35,000, which would be for the city of Atascadero, the monthly salary for city council members may be up to $300. In addition to that, the $300 salary per month may be increased up to 5% for each calendar year from the date of the last adjustment. In addition to the salary for council members, the Government Code 36516.1 provides that the elected mayor may receive an additional salary beyond just the salary for city council members. Now, with respect to the timing for any salary increase, that cannot go into effect until at least one city council member begins a new term of office. So what that would mean is that if you were to adopt this ordinance sometime before November of 2016, that it could not go into effect until January of 2017. The amount of any allowable increase, since your last increase was 1985, would be 5% times the 32 years from 1985 through 2017. So when you do the math on that, it would be 32 years multiplied by 5% per year. It cannot be compounded. Is 160%. 160% of $300 is $480. So what this means is that you have the ability to increase the salary of city council members anywhere between the current $300 up to a maximum of $780. And then finally, with respect to the issue of salary, the increase, if there is one, let's say you were to make an increase of a certain amount by adopting an ordinance to do that at some future meeting, that would then be the increase through that date. If you were then to come back, let's say, 2 years later and want to do another increase, you'd be limited to 5% above whatever the increase was that you did the last time. So you can't make up for lost salary, for example. So if you just increased it by $100 a month this time, you couldn't go back and pick up that difference between the 100 and the 480 in the future. Now, that's the issue on salary. Now I'm going to talk about health insurance. The rule on health insurance is found in Government Code Section 53200 and following. The basic rule is that the City Council health insurance benefits can be no greater than the most generous schedule of health insurance benefits being received by any category of non-safety employees. So that's the rule. The current practice of the city is to make available to City Council members the same health insurance options that it makes available to city employees. The city currently contributes to the cost of health insurance for City Council members, but not for spouses and families. Whereas with employees, the city does contribute to the cost of health insurance for employees, spouses, and families. So those are the rules that deal with health insurance. I'm now going to move on to the subject of salary for city treasurer and city clerk. Here the government code section is 36517, and all of these sections that I'm citing here are in your staff report. That provides that the city clerk and the city treasurer are to receive a compensation fixed by ordinance or resolution. Currently, the resolution for the city treasurer salary, which was last adopted in 1991, is a monthly salary of $200 per month. For the city clerk, the monthly salary is also $200 per month, and that was set by resolution number 92-94, adopted in 1994. So I'm going to, in a moment, move on to the options that are available to the council tonight. But I thought I'd pause before I do that to see if there's any questions about what I've said so far in terms of the rules or what the permissible increases are.
Thank you. And I'll look to my lights to see who to take the order, because there may be a number of questions. We'll begin with Councilman Fonzie, followed by Councilman Sturdivant.
Thank you. Are there the same restrictions that the City Council has on increasing their salaries over their last salary increase for the City Treasurer and City Clerk?
No.
So in other words, they could raise it $100 and then raise it $100 in 2 years?
Yes.
And does it happen yearly, or is it based on election cycles?
There's nothing tied to the election cycle in the government code with respect to salaries for city clerk or city treasurer. That is applies to city council.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Councilman Sturdivant.
Yes, just wanted, what was the instance for a mayor? Was there a limit on that, and was there a timing on that as well or not?
The answer to both questions is no.
Thank you. So
no limit, no timing.
Thank you.
And I do see that I did have a PowerPoint here that I kind of probably should just spend a moment to catch up with that. I did mention in my comments that the salary is currently $300 per month, and you'll see on the screen that comes from Atascadero Municipal Code Section 2-17.02. And we have put together the comparisons of the salaries for city council members and for mayors in the other cities in the county. As you can see on the screen, for council members, for Rio Grande, it's 405, Atascadero, 300, Grover Beach, 300, Morro Bay, 500, Paso Robles is 600, Pismo Beach is 514, and 80 cents. Not quite sure why they did that, but I'm sure it was a math issue, and it was a 5% increase from some other number, but I didn't actually investigate that, but that's what we've been told is the number. San Luis Obispo is at $1,200 a month, and then the mayor's stipends are in the second column, and as you can see it on the screen. And then we also have the information with respect to the elected city clerk and elected city treasurer. The only other city in the county that elects their city treasurer and city clerk is the city of Paso Robles, and both the city clerk and city treasurer in Paso Robles receive a monthly salary of $600 per month.
Thank you. Now, I understood that there were, that Paso may be the only other city that has both an elected clerk and treasurer, but I thought there were other cities that had city clerks. But
well, I'm going to have to defer to our own city clerk, who probably knows better than I about that.
The names on there were just for this county. There are other elected clerks in the state of California, yes. There's about 500 approximately cities in California, and it's going down every election. They do put it on, more cities are putting it on the ballot to change from elected to appointed. So it's about 130 to 150 are still elected in the
but
state.
But in our county, we're the only county that has an elected city clerk and an elected city treasurer.
Our city and Paso Robles, we're the only two cities that have elected in this county. Everyone else, the other cities did have them elected at one time, but they have one by one put it on the ballot and changed it.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Kelly, followed by Councilman Moreno.
This afternoon we received an email from Rochelle. Can that get up on the screen? Or what I was looking at is in this, it has all the pay and everything that, you know, currently is received by city council members and mayors. But if you go over to additional benefits, the city of Paso Robles reimburses for reasonable expenses, and Pismo Beach has a internet allowance, cell phone stipend, expense allowances, and San Luis Obispo has up to $1,200 a month for reimbursed for city business. Is that a stipend program, something that could be initiated here to basically cover the expenses that we sometimes incur on a daily, weekly, or monthly business basis?
And just to add to that question, as you know, actually when I came on council, we got a demotion because we used to have a $50 a month basically stipend to cover expenses, and then it's for some reason it was determined that we should discontinue that. However, apparently a number of cities have not found that is necessary. So it would be good to have that discussion.
Just as an example, I think, you know, we probably use a lot of paper at home, you know, correspondence on the internet, part of our internet time is based on city business, cell phone usage, you know, everything, and it all slowly adds up a little bit. So that's kind of where I was going, you know, with this issue.
Thank you. Why don't we let staff keep percolating on that one? We'll go ahead with council questions. We may have similar. That was Councilman Kelly, and then I believe Councilman Moreno.
Brian, did you address health benefits for clerk and treasurer?
I did not.
Okay. If would you do that, please?
Well, I believe they're entitled to the same health benefits as other employees if the city elects to make that available to them.
What is the
benefits? Same city council. Yeah, I misspoke. Other benefits as the all elected officials would be entitled to the same health benefits.
Okay, so for the seven positions, that's all
yes.
The same. Okay, thank you.
And now I see Councilman Kelly, I still have a light on. Did you have further question? That's fine. Then Councilman Sturdivant, followed by Councilman Fonzie.
Oh, yeah. We were looking at Paso Robles, council and mayor. What does Paso Robles do for health insurance for council members and their families? Do they include them? That's my first question. Do you know?
The schedule says that they receive medical, dental, vision for employee and dependents for Paso Robles.
Okay. And then also the health, you were saying in our the way it's written for us is that the health care will be no greater than a non-sworn employee. What is that amount for that coverage?
It changes from year to year. It is set by MOU and resolution. So that would be set as part of the regular negotiation process. I could tell you current amounts for that, if that's what...
Sure. I'm just trying to get an idea of what we're talking about.
So there's six different options for employee only. HMO choice is $582.16 a month. For the high deductible plan, it's $563.58 a month. For employee plus one dependent, it's $1,093.98 per month. For HMO, for high deductible, it's $1,112.23 per month. For family coverage for HMO, it's $1,421.70 per month. And for family high deductible plan, it's $1,461.23 per month.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Fonzie.
Thank you. Just looking at this chart that's on the screen, there seems to be some correlation between the population of the cities and the salaries received, because I look at San Luis Obispo, which is our county seat, is the largest city that we have in terms of population, and they are much more than any of the others. Do we have some rough idea what the population of these cities, that we could write them down and see if there is some correlation? I know that you get more emails, you go to more things, depending on the size, because it's just the nature of service on the city council.
I could try and look that up. The correlation probably more closely corresponds to revenue and general fund revenue, as you have cities like Pismo Beach is your second highest there. They don't have a large population, but they do have quite a bit of revenue, and they do have a high TOT or daytime population thing. So I can figure that out really quickly for you.
I don't think I need them all. I have a rough idea. I would say probably our population is closest to Paso Robles.
Correct.
Would you agree?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other council questions? Councilman Kelly.
This might be for Brian. Would you have an interpretation what a reasonable expense would be include?
I'm not sure I heard that question.
I said for Paso Robles and their additional benefits, they reimburse for reasonable expenses. Would you? It's a tough one.
Well, I suppose
what that might include.
Yeah, I would like to see. I mean, I'm assuming that that's kind of a summary of whatever their code says, or whatever their policy says. So I probably have to read that in context. My assumption is that, for example, if you were to rent a hotel room in connection with a conference, that you would be paying, you know, a reasonable rate rather than staying at the most expensive hotel in the town, that you would stay at a more reasonably priced one. That's my assumption. Not necessarily that you would stay at the least expensive, but at a reasonably priced one.
Well, my take on that is that I think all cities reimburse for actual expenses related to trips and training, or more in our case, attending some of the regional board activities. I think what's different is many of the cities also reimburse for activities that we may just pay for out of pocket. I've gone to a number of economic development meetings with community members, and I'll be there with other mayors, and I notice other mayors are pulling out a city credit card and paying for lunch, whereas I'm using my credit card, which is fine. I don't mind doing that at all, but I think, and I don't think any of us have ever tried to seek reimbursement for activities like that, because it's not been very defined, but apparently other cities do participate a little more in some of those areas. And that might be something just for to make this clearer, because I think that additional benefits column is kind of hard to interpret. So just for sake of comparison, it might be good to in the future kind of add to that a little bit to explain, well, just what does it mean when they say, example for Paso Robles, reimburse reasonable expenses, as Councilman Kelly asked. I don't know what that means.
Let me make a suggestion. The scope of the report that I've submitted to you tonight that was intended to deal specifically with the issues that are described in the report, not with respect to reimbursement for expenses or whether or not you could or couldn't get a stipend for any particular type of expense. If you wish, I can come back with a future staff report that does address that subject.
We'll see where council goes with this because we're reluctant to ask for a lot of, but I see. Do you want to go ahead, Council Commander, and then we'll go to our city treasurer?
I would be interested in having that question answered because that might help me. That might help me make a decision on another deal as far as salary compared to reimbursement for costs. I'll make a statement. A lot of people may not believe this, but it actually cost us a lot of money to be city council people out of our pocket. And I would be more inclined to be reimbursed for my actual costs.
Thank you. Our Mr. City Treasurer.
Yes. I have a fair amount of experience in this area. I've been administering all the reimbursements and everything for the County of San Luis Obispo for many years. That's a very good question Council Member Kelly poses of what's a reasonable expense. You usually end up we're worrying about the IRS, I'm sorry to say, what they would call a reasonable expense. And I don't know what Pastor Robles calls a reasonable expense, but I see the ones that Pismo has, the internet, the cell phone, just $150 a month expense allowance for whatever. Generally, those are going to be taxed. You'll have to pay income tax on those. So if you're getting $150 a month and you're paying 30 of it in income tax, that's fine. I'm just wanting to make you aware of that. And my personal belief is you're better off staying, I think, as you said, Council Member Kelly, of pay me for the actual expenses that you incurred. So if one council member is going to League of Cities twice a year, pay them for their mileage and their hotel and their meals and stuff. And if one prefers to stay home and maybe they drive around town observing stuff a lot, give them some money for their mileage there, but make it where it's for their actual incurred expenses. That would be my suggestion. And so you don't run up against the idea of, well, everybody's getting the same, but he's not spending the same. And also don't have the IRS on your back. And I know Rochelle knows probably at least as much as I do about those things.
Thank you for that experience sharing. And Marcia, you had a comment.
I'm invisible today. No, I'm kidding. I just wanted to say I completely agree with what Mr. Subot was saying. And also, you mentioned a couple of things. When you talk about this listing, I created this document, if you're wanting to know that. And this is information I get every year from all the cities. I always send out to them and ask them. I send them last year's, and I say, do you have any changes, any added or things taken away? And that is the response that I got from PASO. I didn't call them and ask them to list it out. But it is the reasonable expenses are things that you're doing for going to committees and travel if you go to a conference, whatever. And the idea of the credit cards, I can tell you that those cities that do have credit cards, because I've talked to all of them about it, where the council members have credit cards, none of the staff are really happy about that, only because people forget or whatever and use the card or maybe think that something they're doing is city-related, but when they turn it in or when the city gets the bill, they need the receipt from you or whatever, and if you haven't turned it in, they have to track that down, and then they find out, actually, you use that card by mistake, and so it causes the city staff a lot of more work, where if you actually go to the something, pay for something, and then bring in the receipt, we reimburse you, and it's way simpler on our end to do that. But and again, it's a reasonable expense that you get reimbursed for instead of giving you a certain amount per month. That way you actually do get reimbursed for everything you do.
Thank you. Well, we'll get to opinion sharing shortly. And I do have lights for our city manager and our city clerk. Do you not have a button over there? So clear the papers away and you'll be less invisible. Thank you. Councilman Moreno.
So I'm curious, we said something about mileage, so I think all of us sit on boards where we're driving various places. Is that a reimbursable expense? So we've all never, well, I've never something like that. It's all done out of my pocket. So.
It is a reasonable expense, and the city does reimbursement for those. If you look in the city's purchasing policy, there is a whole section on mileage reimbursement, meals, all of that. The elected officials are, you have a little bit more stringent because of AB, I think it was 1234, than most employees, but you do have all the rules and regs there. They do follow the IRS. The IRS is very particular about when you can reimburse and when you can't. So they do follow all of the IRS guidelines that Mr. Seabach talked about, but they are in there.
My recommendation at this point would be that if we want to have a further discussion about reimbursement for expenses, that if that's the will of the council, that we bring that back to a future meeting. The item before you tonight, which you don't need to make a decision on tonight, and it's a discussion item, we could, we're going to be bringing, if your direction is that you want to increase council salaries and you are interested in the draft ordinance that's in your packet, the recommended action, if we can I skip over what this slide is up here and get to the recommended action, or?
I don't think we're
David,
quite ready.
David, that would be you. Could you, thank you.
All I was going to say was that well, let me just leave it at this. I don't think we should have any further conversation about reimbursement for expenses because the agenda item here is salaries and
thank you. We'll stick to salaries and the items listed in those columns here. You had mentioned that, for example, there's statutes referencing council, but it did not apply to city clerk or city treasurer, and I think you also said mayor. Could you clarify, what are the differences between council, mayor, clerk, and treasurer, and where are they exactly the same?
Well, the difference is that with salaries for city council members, they are allowed to increase 5% a year since the last increase. And that's in terms of amount. And in terms of timing, it has to be go into effect after at least one council member is sworn into office. So that's why you wouldn't be able to have an increase in the salary compensation until January of 2017. So that's the council rules. For the mayor and for city treasurer and for city clerk, there is no limitation on the amount of the increase or on the timing of the increase.
And that's just because that's the way it is.
That's the way the code reads, yes.
Okay, thank you. Well, that's helpful. And I think we're still at council questions before we go to the public. And any other questions at this point? We do need to keep it to questions regarding the stipends. And I believe we can talk about the insurance column as well, since that has been part of this. So any questions from council about stipends for any elected official or and or insurance benefits? Go ahead.
Well, since other cities have spouses included, I suppose we ought to bring that one up someplace in the near future. I don't want to state an opinion on that, but does anybody have any concerns about that or not too much?
I think if we were long-term employees, which some of us are, some of us aren't, I have concern about having a program like that for, say, somebody that might just serve for 2 years or 4 years. I don't know how complicated that would make the system work, or if somebody that did come on board, if they would want to give up whatever insurance they had prior to that for a 2 or 4 year period and start it back up. So I don't know the mechanics of it. I mean, the benefit is obviously a good one, but I don't know if the mechanics of it would work that smoothly.
Well, I think there's some issues of whatever it is, it has to be uniform across all employee categories. But
right. It is an anomaly, actually, from the other employees in the city, so it does seem a little odd.
Yeah. Let's see. Was there any other council member with questions?
You know, I think when those numbers were put out, I think nobody ever talked about that there's a life insurance policy and a dental and vision plan. I think, would that be added on to those numbers that you, I mean, there's a value to them. You don't have to tell me what it is.
No, those were included in the numbers.
Even the life insurance policy?
Yes. That was a full life insurance, health insurance, dental, and vision.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other council questions? Seeing no council questions, I've had a request to take a brief 5-minute break. Then we'll come back and we will open it up to the public. Thank you. Back here, looks like my volume gained a little bit. Little headset adjustment, and I'm really not yelling that much. Though I may yell if we don't get everybody back here pretty soon. We'll see. We do have 3 council members. 3 out of 5 is not bad. We'll wait a moment and get our full crew back together. Working a little supplemental income there. We are all back at our seats and we'll continue. I assume there is no further questions by council, and we can go to the public. We welcome you to comment on this item number 5, salaries and health, welfare, and retirement benefits for mayor, city council members, city clerk, and city treasurer. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Charles Bourbeau again. A couple of things, not in any particular order, and a couple of questions in here as well. One is... First of all, you know, we're very blessed to have a dedicated and competent workforce that is very, very small staff compared to a lot of cities and do a great job throughout every city employee I've met. But I'd have to say that the lowest paid people that work for the city are you guys, the council. And I say that because so many people don't recognize, you know, politicians have a bad rep and people feel like, you know, you're in it for the money or something, which... If you were, you'd really have questionable judgment because you know that most of you, with the hours you put into this job, are making less than minimum wage, well less than minimum wage. And I think a lot of the public doesn't appreciate that. And, regardless of anybody's politics, I admire all council members over all the years I've been here. And speaking of that, 30 years ago, or almost 30 years ago, when I was the city treasurer, the pay was $10 a month. Which was raised to $20 during that time frame. But, of course, the council's pay at that time was $300, as it is now. And my couple comments, I don't believe, although Jerry Seebach has obviously a wealth of experience, is an extremely competent guy, but I don't personally believe at this point the treasurer's salary needs to be increased. I think the council should consider doing it. It may not be politically popular. You may not do it because you're not in this for the money anyway. But we don't want to have a council where only people who, you know, are basically very comfortable can afford to serve. I think you also should consider the reimbursable expense issue later, but it certainly warrants consideration because you do, just between the events you go to, you do spend a lot of your own money out of pocket, and I think that's also something people don't appreciate. I had a couple of questions or a couple of observations. SLO is an outlier because they're a charter city and their salary has always been higher and it emanates from them being a charter city as opposed to general law city, which I believe many, many years ago, general law cities were limited in their salary levels. Let's see. I was somewhat surprised that the mayor is not affected by the 2017 rule because the mayor can vote on this and therefore has an opportunity to vote on his own salary. And I would encourage you, Mr. Mayor, that if you do vote for an increase, that it not be effective for the mayor until the same time is effective for the council in January 17. I had a question regarding insurance, because somebody asked about family benefits. I wouldn't recommend that you allow family benefits for council members. But my question was, can you decline the insurance currently? Because that was an issue way back when I was the city treasurer, and I asked about declining insurance because, you know, I made $10 a month, but they spent $300 a month on insurance, which I didn't need. And at that time, you couldn't decline it. So I hope you are able to at least decline it. And I had a question on the budget. In the budget that you just approved on page E4, it shows the council member salaries jumping from $18,000 to $31,500. So I'm wondering if staff was assuming a particular raise level in that. I'm sorry to go over. Thank you very much.
No, and feel free to take time. We don't have that many members of the public here, so we welcome any questions. We aren't going to cut that off tonight. Please come forward. Welcome. And we'll ask staff to address all comments.
Mr. Mayor, member of the City Council, my name is Chuck Ward. Among a couple of titles, I'm co-chairman of the Charles Paddock Statue Project, but I got here too late for community forum. But when I heard the subject on reimbursement of expense accounts and out-of-pocket expenses for people that do the city's business, I perked up and I thought I'd chime in on my own experience in corporate America. If there was one thing that just griped employees, it was the way expense accounts were handled. And after working in an upper middle management position for a Fortune 500 company, I spent many, many years as a CEO of an international corporation. And during that time, I had the opportunity to set the policy for reimbursement. And what we came up with was that any employee who incurred expenses was not to operate out of his own pocket. He would be given an expense account advance, and he would be given an expense account form, and he had to attach receipts. And then another manager or employee had to sign off on that, and then it got approved and it got immediately reimbursed. There was just so much dissatisfaction when companies, you know, just try to chisel employees. I think it's very, very important, since the positions of city council are, in essence, volunteer jobs. You don't get high salaries. It is absolutely essential that you be reimbursed and that there be a swift and orderly process for reimbursing you. And I would suggest that each member of the city council that does business be given a advance, and they work off that advance, and the reimbursement brings it up to that advance, and that whoever handles that do it quickly. And that being the case, you're not going to be seeing people walking around for months with receipts in their pocket. So again, it is one way of keeping employees and underpaid city officials happy, and I think it's very important that the public understands that, and that don't be ashamed to ask that you get reimbursed and that there be a good program in place, because good businesses do that, and that's how they keep good employees. Well, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public wishing to come forward? Union reps? Anyone? Seeing none, approach. We'll close public comment, bring it back to council, and first I'll ask staff to address any questions that they heard they might be able to weigh in on. For example, it looks like staff put in a placeholder on a budget item, and obviously we would not want to give the impression that council's given any direction to staff on any anticipated anything. We kind of...
That is correct. Council has not given any direction to staff on anything. That being said, as part of the budget, we do try and anticipate where we... our best estimate of where things are going. So there is a placeholder. It may be much less than that than what you approve. It may be more than that, in which case then we would come back to you with a budget amendment. But what we do always want to do is give our best guess at this time.
Thank you. Any other item you heard that you would want to respond to? No. Very good. Bring it back to council. And again, we are limiting our discussion to the stipends and the insurance columns that have been displayed. First, Councilman Kelly, followed by Councilwoman Moreno, followed by Councilman Fonzie.
We're not talking salary now?
We can, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. When I decided to run for city council, the pay was not even considered. It was the service to the community. What I could do to the community, hopefully make it better for all the citizens of the community. We do get $300. I'm happy with the $300 because it's not the reason I got on the city council. I actually enjoy going around to different places and telling people that we only get $300. I think it's an example of what this city council does with our budget, that we are very, very conservative. At the same time, we heard this evening about the budget that, hey, you know, we're going to be in the red until 2021. I don't think it sets a good example that we're doing this, and then I don't know what kind of pay raise or anything anybody could talk about. I would be more interested in additional stipends to actually cover my out-of-pocket costs. I think, I know the fire department, I'm not sure about the police department, but those employees get a little stipend, I think, for their cell phone every year. And you know, some of the other direct costs that we have. So probably as of tonight, not knowing what that could be and what have you, I would probably not be ready to make a suggestion myself or vote on any type of pay raise.
Well, one, let's be clear. We can't vote on any type of anything tonight anyway, but what we will do is direct staff to come back with whatever we would like to see, and you could propose any of those combinations, and then it comes back in something that could be voted on at a future meeting. Not only the information would be prepared, that we could actually take action if we so choose. So we'll keep that in mind when it comes to deliberation. We'll go to Councilwoman Moreno, followed by Councilwoman Fonzie.
I'd certainly echo what Councilmember Kelly says. I think all of us, and I'm sure anyone up until this day, has never decided to serve as a council member in order to get money. You could pay us $1,000, and that's still not enough to get money. So that's not even on the table as far as I'm concerned. In trying to figure out if we raise it, what would be reasonable, I looked to the federal website for Social Security and just said, okay, from, you know, 86, well, it's 1985, so from 86 forward, what was the COLA adjustment for Social Security? And then I took the last year available and just extended that up through 2016. And so it basically ended up at about 2.77 per year, and then I took a 1.7 the last 3 years. So that puts that estimate is $678.18. So just as a number to look at. And then I was curious, Rochelle, I kind of asked you about, you know, in Atascadero, if we were to look at Atascadero salaries and where they've gone, and that's a pretty big thing to be able to look at. But from 1985 to 2015, what has been, you know, what have our salaries done, if you could kind of have an average?
I looked at about 13 different positions. I tried to find the ones that were filled then and filled today and have the same title, so we knew that they were comparable. Those have increased about 125% on the low end, 124.8, up to over 200%, and everywhere in between. There was a lot in the 125 to 150 range there. So that's what I came up with.
Okay. And that would be, then that would be 675 up
yeah. to... That's exactly. 125% would be 675.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
And then something that Mr. Bourbeau pointed out, I think it is important that it's not about the five of us. I mean, three of us may not be here when and if this goes into effect, and then two of us could not be here 2 years later. So it's not about the five of us. It's about the future as well. And while it's not a money maker, there's oftentimes people cannot afford the time and the expense in it if it's only going to be a stipend of $300 a month. So I think we need to think about future councils and people that might be wanting to serve and what sort of financial constraint there could be for individuals like that.
Thank you. Councilman Fonzi, followed by Councilman Sturdivant.
Thank you. You brought up what I was thinking as well. I think your comment, Mr. Bourbeau, was actually very accurate, that we don't want to limit the people who can afford to be on the council to those who are either retired and receiving a pension and not in need, or those who are independently wealthy. I can give you my personal experience because I'm self-employed. When I'm about doing city business, going to a commission meeting in San Luis Obispo for half the day, that's half the day that I'm not able to work. And so I'm not getting an income that I might have had were I not on the city council. And I wouldn't be alone in that. Those who would like to be on this council in the future would be in that same position, and they wouldn't be able to be on. And I'm looking at this from the point of view of salary per hour, that I would say on average I put at least 25 hours in on city business. And because of health insurance deductions, I make approximately $100 every 2 weeks. So I'm making $2 an hour. I don't begrudge that. However, when you're self-employed, this does take a bite out of your time. So it's not just the reimbursements. The reimbursements are something to consider, certainly. But I think the salary is actually something we need to talk about.
Thank you. Councilman Sturdivant.
Well, I ran for this office because I wanted to serve my community. And I agree that we are the lowest paid. We all can agree on that. And it does cost money for the things that I choose to give to beyond city business, because we do give a lot beyond the city business, but we are reimbursed for city business. And I would like to see a clear reimbursement program, something that's well understood and very clear as to what we're allowed and what we're not allowed. As part of this, I just would like to see that. That could possibly make a difference, like Councilmember Kelly had mentioned. That would make a difference is if we are being reimbursed for our city expenses, not the expenses we choose to make donations to, but the city expenses we do, plus what we have now, that could work. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other council comments? Well, I will weigh in on a few. Having served the longest on council, coming on council in 2002, as I say, I think shortly after getting elected, we actually got a pay cut because we used to get a standard stipend of I think it may have been $75 a month, and that was eliminated for various reasons. And again, I have never thought much about it. I used to have the perspective that Councilman Kelly has that, well, I'm here to serve my community. I didn't quite have the optimistic view that I remember one council member had early on when the councilman said, well, I could give up every other Tuesday night to serve my community. Well, as soon as you're on here, you realize, no, I put in 20 to 30 hours a week on not just city council, but on all of the regional boards we sit on, and that really makes a difference for our community. So it is a big time commitment, and quite frankly, there is a lot of things that you'll find. I don't think there's a nonprofit organization in town that doesn't have an event that we are not buying tickets for. Now, that's our choice, but again, it's something that you find yourself in our position wanting to do, and it's a sacrifice for families. And again, I think we all willingly do that. I've never supported an increase in the 12 years I've been on council, but I have heard a number of younger council members really say they just could not continue to do this service. And I think it's fine for some of us old retired guys. Yeah, we can make it work. It's a financial sacrifice decision, but many people have made that decision. But I think it can skew who we get representing us on our council. And I think we often say, boy, we would sure like to get more younger folks involved. Well, as Councilwoman Fonzie has said, it's not only just that, you're only getting $300 a month. You're giving up 20 hours a week of time that could go to other activities. Maybe it's sacrificing family time, which many of us older folks do, or it's in cases of a younger person still working. They are sacrificing career in order to serve their community. And so I would definitely support, though I may not see the benefit myself, I would definitely agree we're not going to vote something in that impacts the current sitting council. But for future councils and to just make it so it's more open for more to participate, I think we really need to look at a reasonable salary commensurate and comparable to the other cities. I don't want to brag anymore that we're the lowest paid council. I'm going to just keep bragging that we're the most productive council, and we can be proud of that. And I think as far as reimbursements, there are things in place. However, I also know that there's always a debate. As much as folks might appreciate your favorite council person, there's always going to be the other council person you're going to question, well, is that really an appropriate expense? That someone might go and be involved with one organization that some people say, well, that's not important, whereas another group of folks will be involved with other organizations, and other people will say, well, those aren't important. And the fact is, there's a wide range of things that are important to all of our community, and we want to encourage representation in every activity, and we want to leave that to some discretion of the sitting council to be involved. And I think a way to kind of take a lot of those questions away is just, I think most folks would be satisfied if they had a reasonable reimbursement compared to other councils, and so that's what I would support. So I think now we're at a point where we need to deliberate and give some direction to staff. We have to work to kind of get it down into a form that they can bring back. Again, we're not deciding anything tonight. We're sharing our thoughts. We're going to give some direction to staff to say, why don't you come back with a couple of proposals, and that'll be published broadly in the community, and then we will vote on that at a future time, and we'll have more deliberation and more discussion at least one or two more times. So this is government in action, not government in action, but government in action. It takes a little bit of time. So don't worry that something's going to happen anytime soon. I've been talking about this very topic for 12 years now. So hopefully we'll make a little more progress in the next few months. I'll open it up to some suggestions from council. Councilman Kelly.
I think everybody had really good ideas and good input to it. And I think at this point, I think staff probably heard us of what we've talked about. My personal deal, I always like to look at the benefit packages and the reasonable reimbursement for expenses, because if that can take care of some of my expenses, that would help me make my decision on what the salary increase might be. But if we don't have any reimbursement, well, then maybe the salary needs to go up. So I would like to see how we can get balanced out. And maybe like Mrs. Fonzie brought up, how do we match in pay with the population of other cities and their budget and what have you. How do we just kind of fit in and balance out? That's what I would like to see the staff do and come back with some of that information for us.
Thank you. And I want to just comment on Councilman Kelly's comment, because we're going to take plenty of time tonight. We will not cut anybody off. But I think I also look at the balance between what it takes for staff time and also questions on. And I agree with you. We would just I'd like to make it such that folks are not sacrificing so much that they can't do a good job. And for those that aren't as fortunate as us, Bob, been around for a while and have other sources of income, other folks. And I think the ease of just having a reasonable stipend compared to other cities, for most of us, we simply don't want to go through the process of all of the paperwork now required for some of those reimbursements, and it's a lot of work on staff. You know, you lose one receipt, it's a $20 receipt, and we're basically have staff that are working for a lot per hour to figure that out. And I believe every time you process a check through a government entity, the price of that check is probably way more than the amount of reimbursement you're going to get. So I think just factoring those things in as we go, but I think when we get to deliberating, we're going to make sure you get the information you need
that. I think, you know, part of that can be beneficial. I know you drive all over the place. I drive over the place, and probably 10 or 15% of the time I've put in for mileage. I think, Mrs. Marino, you didn't even know it was available, but actually, when you do put it in, it's a considerable amount of money. And I think one of the other things we need to achieve is that the public needs to feel very, very comfortable that we're doing this the right, fair way, because there's a lot of distrust in government these days with what some politicians are getting away with.
Right.
And I want to make sure that everything's on the table and the information that we took to make whatever decision that we make. That is more the interest of the people in the community than it is for us.
Right. Thank you. Councilwoman Moreno, followed by Councilwoman Fonzie.
A couple of thoughts. I'm more inclined towards the stipend than focusing on reimbursement. I mean, yes, mileage and things that we can already be reimbursed for that maybe some of us, just need to be more clear about those policies. With regards to internet and things like that, yes, we use that, but then we use it for other things. And I think even from the IRS perspective, it's probably hard for them to say, so you're reimbursing for that when they also use it 60% for personal time. I think it's easier to just wrap that under a stipend. To compare to other cities, part of it is we have no idea where they are in their process. So you could look at a city of whatever size, a similar size to us, or if we just take any of these cities, when is the last time they did this update? And what I mean by that is if it was 10 years ago and you look at, let's say, Morro Bay, well, then they could do $25 a year, you know, $250, so they could be $750 tomorrow, and then we're still not comparing apples to apples. So, I mean, it's helpful to have this, but I don't know that trying to get more information and comparing to all these cities I think would be a lot of work, and I don't know how much that really achieves. It hasn't been said, but I think it would be appropriate for us to have an additional salary for the mayor position. I think that would be, I certainly see Tom, and I'm sure that both Bob and Roberta, when you were mayor, it was a lot more of your time and effort, and I think even a minor honorarium of some sort added in, I think, is appropriate. I do like Mr. Bourbeau's idea that it goes into effect when the council salaries do, but that's just some input from me.
Thank you. Councilwoman Fonzie.
Well, if we could put that chart back up with the different cities, that would be appreciated so the public could see it. I think the city that's closest in size and closest in nature to Atascadero is Paso Robles. And they're making double what we are. We don't know their justification. And as you said, Ms. Moreno, that we don't know when they last gave their raise. but we are sincerely less than what they're making. I think this is actually probably a good guideline, at least, to consider, is what Paso Robles makes, and then hash it out and make that a starting point for a report, and we can then discuss it later.
Actually, I think we do know that one. I think it was 2006, meaning they could increase by $270 and they could be $870.
Okay.
Now, that's the one I happen to know. So it's, I mean, yeah, when you compare it, it's we're still very low, even just compared to what they've done in the last 9 years.
Well, just comparing apples to apples, I think that Paso Robles is probably the closest in size, the closest in nature. Morro Bay is much smaller. Arroyo Grande is smaller. And Grover Beach is smaller. Pismo Beach, they have different circumstances, as does San Luis. So I think that would be perhaps where we want to give staff direction, is that we take that as a starting point, and we can tweak it from there, up or down, or however we choose. Just a thought.
Thank you. And we are allowing a little more discussion on this item. We're all involved, and we've got the time to do that. That's not a problem. Councilman Sturdivant.
Yes, I'd like to see a clarification on exactly what we are reimbursable for when it comes to expenses for the city. And I would also like to consider an additional amount for the mayor. He does do, there's a lot of work being mayor. And I can, that's something that would definitely, I would like to see have happen.
Thank you. Let me reiterate some things that I think I'm hearing, at least by consensus. And I think one is folks do want a little more definition on the possible reimbursements. And Councilman Kelly, I want you to weigh in and help me on this to make sure we get it. I don't think we're looking at all the additional benefit column, but I think we do want to know. Let's get it really clarified. For example, what is that? There was one phrase.
Well,
I think,
you know, I feel free. You know, I've been here a little, yeah, little bit of a while, and I know if we go on a trip and everything, we get reimbursed for the
right
meals and the hotel and everything. I've always been a guy that, it's the nickel and dime stuff that kills you, that nobody just kind of overlooks. And I don't really know the answer how to handle it. You know, I did like that one day, I believe it was Pismo Beach, where, you know, you got X number of dollars for this deal or that deal or what have you. And they seem to be reasonable numbers.
Yeah.
That really would apply to everybody. We all have a telephone. Mm-hmm. We use a good portion of it for city business. In the internet, you know, I do taxes, and I've researched the home office deal and how you separate deal. It's not really that difficult to do it. But
well, I would say, you know, well, I'm going to support you getting the information. I can say with what I know, it's not something I would support just because there's the issues of, let's say you get reimbursed for your cell phone. So now a portion of your personal cell phone is now for city business. That means basically under public records law, your whole cell phone records is addition to anything you might be doing with private business activities. It's basically fair game. And that's the trouble. As soon as you intermix activities, that's where personally I'm saying I'm going to donate all electronic services, so to speak. And I try to separate out city business. It comes on the city email address, and I may use my device to access it. But if you want to see any city business, you can go look on the city computer, because it's all there. And I think there are some complexities that you have to really think, is that something you want to do?
Well, you're right. I think there was one city that gave the iPads back just because of that.
Exactly. So I think it's reasonable to kind of get that information. I personally would say I don't want it. I think it makes it more complicated. I would rather just have it, look at it as a flat amount, that it's clear we don't have any debate over what's included, what's not. Because I agree with you. I spend a lot just on paper. But quite frankly, I don't want to have to figure it all out, because the time I would take to get reimbursed for some of these items,
I think that's one of the reasons why we don't turn in the expenses for the mileage. Don't have the time.
Quite frankly, yeah, it's really not worth your time. It's just an expense. Thank you. But I think, let me ask staff on that piece, because several councils, can we get a little more clarification of what other cities are doing on some of those reimbursements? I personally don't think it's a particularly good idea, but we at least, it would be helpful to have that quantified. Is that something you could take a stab at?
Yes, we can try and get some of the other policies and procedures from over the other cities and get those to you, along with, as Mr. Seabock said, there's some of these that do raise red flags, so we will also bring
that
along
to our attention.
Some of those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I'd like to limit our discussion right now to really kind of clarify that piece for staff, then we'll move on to other topics. But I think, Councilman Kelly, you're satisfied with what we're getting on that. And other things we might be missing on getting information from staff on those other reimbursed expenses? Go ahead, Councilman Moreno. Okay. Any other comment on reimbursable expenses? Okay. Pick another topic. Councilman Moreno.
I would like maybe staff's input. I'm not sure where to go on the health benefits. I think it looks like possibly we're the only city that does employee only for council and treasurer and clerk. And I guess because it doesn't apply to me specifically, which is probably a good thing, so I'm trying to think more broadly, how does this apply to my fellow council members and future council members in terms of having a family member or not? Is there a certain ease in the way we do it? And when you add something else, is it a – obviously, it's a much greater expense, and so that's probably the biggest thing for us to consider. It would be an incredible addition of expense to the city, more than anything we could even have the authority to do with a stipend. So from that perspective, I'm more apt to keep it as is. And I guess also if I'm thinking through – most people on council probably have other options. Like, you're not coming onto council to get health insurance, although it may end up working that way or being a good benefit. But it probably wouldn't be that you have someone coming on council that needs that benefit then for their entire family. So I'm trying to ferret that out. I don't know where to sit with that. With regards to the stipend, I would just like to throw out a number of $675. And just to throw around.
Thank you. So I think now let's go ahead and have a discussion just on the insurance column now. We kind of settled on the additional reimbursements. So any comments, direction for staff, things you'd like to come back about insurance? Councilman Fonzie.
I understand what you're saying, Councilman Moreno, and I think it may be a big expense and we may not want to go there. It just strikes me as odd that we're the only employees that don't include our families, which seems strange. There must have been a rationale back when
and
they
the only
did it.
Cities that
yeah, other cities do it. We're the only city that does not. So with that said, I can give you personal experience that I pay for dental and vision insurance for my husband because we have an Army retirement and it does not cover vision and dental. So my salary actually is cut down considerably more than yours, for instance. So it would be a benefit to me, but I don't think it's a huge benefit. So there may be others that come on in the future that would find it a benefit to them. It's something we need to talk about.
Thank you. Councilman Sturtevant, again, I'd like to keep it on the insurance topic for the time being.
Oh, sure.
Go ahead.
I was just going to tell you, when I was first came on council and they asked me if I wanted health care, I was taken back. I didn't realize that was an option. But my thought at that time was, I'm the one who ran for office. This is not a full-time job, although I put a lot of time in, and I didn't expect health care. So that's my view on it, is that when you get full-time work, that's what the benefit is. So the fact that they offered that to me, I figure was very generous. So I never even thought about a family and children as well, just because of the situation. This is not my full-time job, although I do spend a lot of time. So
go ahead, Councilman Moreno.
Remember, I wanted to address a question that Mr. Boer wrote. I knew he had another question. I couldn't remember what it was. I think it was you that said this, that Like if you look at San Luis, they have where council can opt out and receive, you know, a $200 to save as department heads. Like, could we opt out and get, we can't do that because that's not a benefit that department heads have that nobody else has in the city. So that would be a benefit that would be specific to council, and that would be illegal.
Right, that is true, and that's a good comment to make in general for the public, that we cannot, which is a good thing, we're not Congress. We can't give ourselves better benefits than we do our employees, and I would never support that. I absolutely think Congress could learn from city councils, but that's another topic that's beyond our ability to resolve. Go ahead, Councilman Kelly. And again, we're talking just about insurance at the moment.
Right. This would be for the city attorney. I think at one time you gave us some documentation and maybe briefed us that I believe it was under state law, correct me if I'm wrong, but that benefit can be put into a deferred compensation package if somebody chose that option is available under the law.
It is there.
It's allowed for employees to do that?
No, it is not allowed for other employees are not allowed to do that. So there is something that does say that council members can receive cash in lieu of benefits, but it does have to be offered to other employees, and our other employees are not allowed to do
okay,
that.
Well, it has to be available to others. I mean, the rule is that the benefits cannot be greater than those available to their employees.
No, I realize what we have within the city now, but I think this was a separate state law that if you chose to initiate it, you could initiate it for the whole city is how you would have to do to make it work.
You'd have to be for the whole city. You
right.
can't just say
right.
it's for us. If
yeah.
we approve a benefit, it has to be applicable
right.
to the entire city, and you'd have to weigh out what that cost was, so we probably need a budget adjustment. But go ahead. Any other council? I still have Councilman Kelly's light on. Anything else on insurance? But I think, again, some of these items are not necessarily things I might support, but I support getting the information so we know, and when we can make an intelligent choice between. So any other comments about insurance? I'll just say again, I feel less strong. I feel pretty strongly back on the reimbursements. I think that's more trouble than it's worth, so I have stronger feelings about that. On the other end, on stipends, I think absolutely we should. Insurance, I have a mixed feelings on. I see the kind of agree with Councilman Sturdivant. You know, I see it as not something you're taking on as a job because you're looking to compare benefits. However, I also feel strongly that we should be comparable to other cities and comparable with employees. So I kind of think just out of a sense of fairness, because I want to represent future council members, not just from my own frame of reference, that, well, one way to compare is, you know, it makes sense that we offer the same comparable benefits that other councils do, and also keeping in concert with what staff are. Not more, not less, just for the benefit of, again, we do kind of tend to take it very personal, I know, when we're looking at this, because maybe something is really important to you, or maybe it's not very important. You know, Councilman Kelly and I, you know, we're at that other stage of life, you know. We aren't going to need, we might need the life insurance, I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
but
the life insurance goes
that's
to the
sounding
top of the
pretty
deal.
Important. But we have to not just think of ourselves, we have to think of future councils, because when we make a decision, it really precludes future councils from making a lot of decisions. That's where I take this very seriously, because the reason there's so much flexibility is previous councils for many years did not make a decision. And once you make a decision, it kind of restarts a clock, so to speak, and it really limits the ability of future councils to make a decision, and things could be different for other council members. So, you know, we have to keep that responsibility in mind. I think we've exhausted on, does staff have a clear direction of what to do on the reimbursed benefits, reimbursement expenses, and insurance? No. So we need to help a little bit. What do we want to see? But I think all we're asking, we know. We know what the cost is for an employee only. What's the cost for employee plus family? That'd be similar to management employees. Then there's the question, I think we all would be interested in, well, can you have an alternative? And I think it's a good question to get the answer to. I think we're all going to say, no, we can't afford it. But I think we should answer the question. If we did say, okay, we're going to allow any employee that wants to do a cash out in lieu of a medical benefit like San Luis does, what would that cost? Now, I have a feeling it's arbitrary because, like San Luis, they just said, well, arbitrarily, it's $200. You know, you can have $200. So is that the situation it would be for us?
Actually, I'll answer that question first. So our insurance currently does not allow employees to opt out. We are such a small plan that we cannot get carriers to bid on our plan if we allow employees to opt out, because they feel the employees will self-select and the healthy ones will opt out and the not so healthy that need it some more. So as part of our insurance quotes for the last 18 years that I have been here, they have said, no, we will not give you a quote for that if you allow employees to opt out of the plan.
Well, that takes care of that, Bob.
So that is a problem. The difference between employee-only coverage, if an employee takes 100% of the coverage available to them for themselves, that runs about $7,000 a year. For a family coverage, that runs in the $18,000 range. So there would be, you know, a substantial cost for that. We would have to figure out, you know, you guys are a little tough because you also always have an election cycle in the middle to budget for, and it's such a small amount, but we could figure some of those. So those are some of the differences in costs that we are looking for. For the you know, what other cities pay, it gets a little tough. We have, you know, Arroyo Grande that does provide full. We have ourselves employee only, Grover Beach none, Morro Bay for employee only, and it looks like the rest, for the most part, do everybody.
So. Yeah, I don't think we're asking for any more information on the other cities. I think the questions were just what would it cost our city, and I think you answered one question. The alternative like San Luis has is just off the table just because of our situation with insurance. The question would be, and I think what I heard from Councilman Fonzie is, it's also a lower cost just to add the vision and dental. So one question might be, okay, right now it's medical for employee only, council member. What about just adding vision and dental for family and not all full medical, because that's an in-between that maybe would benefit some family. So just pricing that out, I would assume, would be at least something to see. Yeah, and if it was, I think, looking at that whole family package, I'm thinking we'd think that's too much, but maybe there's an interim that we at least want to look at. No indication whether we might agree to it or not. Councilman Kelly, more on insurance.
Yes, you know, I think we're developing, I think because of your relationship with Steve Martin up there, a pretty good rapport with past Robles. Is there ever a possibility that you can pool the two cities together and go after one insurance company where you have a better buying power? I would imagine the benefit packages insurance are probably pretty darn close.
We could certainly look at it. I'm not quite sure. And I know there are medical insurance pools. We've been a part of one of those before. We had some of the same restrictions, but we could ask. Doesn't hurt.
Yeah, I'm just looking for the deal.
Well, I think the chance, as much as I like the idea, and it's true, probably Steve Martin, Mayor in Paso, and I are, you know, lifelong friends. And, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. You know, the fact is you've got two independent elected bodies and that much of that depends on some continuity. It's hard enough to predict the continuity and future of our council, let alone two different councils. So I think it's a good idea. It might be worth a phone call, but I have a feeling, yeah, it could be challenging for, you know, to have that maintained in the future. And I'm sure insurance companies would also recognize you really can't enter into a long-term agreement with, in that situation where you're dependent upon two. Yeah, it's tough enough dealing with one city council. I'm thinking, oh boy. Anyway, but maybe a call. Any other insurance ideas? So I think really coming back to us, you were looking at just, well, you know the cost of our current offer, and maybe we just, it's been by precedent. We may make it more by code that, yeah, this is the benefit that's offered. It's very clear, and it's probably at least employee only, but let's at least consider the price of adding dental and vision for family and then everything for family. I suspect we may say no to some of those. We might say yes to one or two. Is that enough for counsel on insurance?
So is what we're saying, come back with all these numbers and then we'll go through this again and then we'll bring it back again?
Yeah, unfortunately, that is the rule. Because
I think the $11,000
is just out off the table.
To me. I mean, it doesn't mean it needs to be for the four of you, but for me, I think that would be off the table.
Well,
I'm pretty sure that vision and dental would be like a couple hundred bucks a year. Yeah.
It's $959.28 approximately.
$959?
Yes.
Just for vision and dental?
For the difference between vision and dental for employee only and for family.
Oh, wow. That's more than I thought it would be.
It runs about $79 a month, $80 a month.
Okay. Thank you.
From individual and adding family. Well, maybe just with that information, is that enough for council to say ruling out those possibilities?
I just recently got the dental and the vision for my wife, and it's only about $33 deduction out of my check. Mm-hmm. Well, that's every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I find that to be a great benefit because the other package, you don't get it.
Well, I think the issue is, rather than saying no to something tonight, all we can do is say bring back some choices. We're going to vote at a future meeting, so you might as well have it on the list. We're going to have the cost for individual for insurance, which is also includes vision and dental. You'll show what it costs for those other options that employees get, what the cost is for family, and we'll say yay or nay, I'm assuming. And then we don't have to further refine it. So I think we're okay on those two. This ought to be the easy one. We're going to pick a number on stipend and open it up to council suggestions. And I think, quite frankly, it's somewhat arbitrary. You can have a rationale for how you come to a conclusion of what you think is fair and reasonable, but it's a number. It will be lower than, it will still be a small number per hour, so I'm not worried about that. So the question is, what would you like to pick? And let me just go from left to right and just see what people are thinking. Just recognizing that you want to allow...
I'd like to play around with the numbers. I would like to do a little research and balance out how it works with other communities and what have you. I think it's somewhere between Paso Robles and Arroyo Grande.
Yeah.
Or maybe even with Paso Robles, but I like to check what the budget is, what the percentage of the pay is according,
Can staff help you with that, or you want to do your own research?
I'll do my own.
Yeah, and I think the key is keep in mind that there's a good chance we may decide that the reimbursement piece is more trouble than it's worth, and so you may be looking at just a simpler process. So. For you, you're looking in the, let's just say, the $400 to $800 range.
Four to six,
okay. And then, and what about for mayor? What's your opinion on that?
I acted as mayor, and I know a mayor does a lot of work, but I know council members also do a lot of work. You know, I was here at 1:30 today for swearing in. I went down to San Luis for a housing committee meeting, and I'm here tonight, and I'll be somewhere again tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.
So that's what you're doing. What's the, what's your thought on the stipend for mayor?
Well, I'm happy with it being even with everybody else.
Okay. Councilman Moreno.
As I said before, I would go with $675. I am less inclined to do additional benefits other than just our, you know, travel typical expenses, but other stipends for those kind of things, that's not of interest to me. I think it's cleaner to put under the stipend. So as I said, $675 would be mine. And I would just kind of maybe judging from here, I don't know what would be normal, but maybe an additional $200 for mayor.
So $675, $875. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've kind of got that four to six from Bob. We got the you got the two numbers from Dr. Moreno. I'll skip over to Councilman Fonzie.
Thank you. I would be interested in the stipend of $675 is fine for a council member. It may turn out to be less, but that would be the top that I would consider. And I think $200 for mayor in addition is approximately where I would like to go with that. In terms of additional reimbursements, I think Mr. Seebach said it very well, that everything that you put on the list can be taxed. It's the same as having it as your stipend. You know, it's just taking it out of a different pocket. I can't see any point to it. I'd rather deal with the stipend. It's very straightforward. It's understandable to the public. So I'd like to leave that basically alone. In terms of the insurance, I'd like to see, as we discussed, let's get the options on the table and we'll figure it out.
I would like to see council be at $300 and the mayor be at $5. And the expenses I'm talking about are direct city-related expenses. We're not talking cell phones, DSL, any of that. We're talking about specific. I'm going driving. I'm going to a conference. I'm things we know are definitely city, no questions asked type of reimbursement. So that way, if your city reimbursements are being covered and you're getting $300 a month, then the money won't be coming out of your pocket for city business, other than choices you choose to make for other donations. That way we can save some more money.
Thank you. Well, I look at council range. I think 500 is a minimum, and so I would see, you know, 500 to 600 is maybe 650 is something to consider for council. And then mayor, I'd look at anywhere from same number up to 800, so 600 to 800 range. And again, I would also like to see an increase for city treasurer, at least. City clerk is more complicated, but if we're going to have an elected city treasurer, though a current city treasurer may decline to or give it away to charity, I think, again, looking into the future, it would be, I would like to consider that. And I would look at least 50% of what council is getting at minimum, up to matching what council gets. So is that, Councilwoman Fonzie, Moreno.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah.
I could see one way to look at it maybe is keeping the two-thirds percent. Like right now it's 200 and 300, which is a, you know, two-thirds of council. So whatever council, we could do two-thirds.
That sounds
more
reasonable.
So that would be something to consider.
Yeah. Now, Mr. City Attorney, I assume we don't have to have the exact numbers pinned down at this point, if it's within a range.
Well, if you were going to bring this back as an ordinance, we would need specific numbers because we can't put a range in the ordinance.
Okay,
the
very
public,
good.
The public needs to know what the number is.
Okay, so I'm going to suggest is with council, we go ahead and do the work of at least proposing two or three options, preferably one, but it's like basically you're going to bring us one to three items, no more than three, that we're going to vote on. Is that realistic, or are you going to want to just have, just you'd like us to have one thing to bring back is probably what you'd like.
Well, I would like what you would like. So
excellent. Then I don't need to hear any more. What I'm going to do is I'm going to push council to try to come up with at least one recommendation. If we can't do that, we may have two or three. But we're going to have three specific things that everybody knows what we're going to vote up or down on, and then it'll be clear. So, for example, we may say it's $507.50. With two-thirds for city treasurer might be plan one, and then plan two is something else. But with that, I'm going to defer to Councilman Moreno, who's busy on her calculator and will tell us down to the penny. That's, we'll end up with something like San Luis with 814.80 or Pismo. Do you have a recommended stipend for council, mayor, and city treasurer?
Well, how about taking everything into consideration? How about 600, 750, and 400, respectively?
Sounds good to me. Is there support for that? We have at least three council members saying that is plan A. Is there a plan B anyone would like to propose? Councilman Kelly.
I would like to get on board with Brian Studervant, and I would like to see the 300 for the council members and 500 for the mayor.
So we have two council members supporting that. We don't have a majority, but we aren't voting tonight. So that is plan B. So we have two options. Would anyone like to consider a third option?
Jerry has a...
No. Councilman, yes,
Councilman
Mr. Seabach.
Yeah. I don't know what the complications are you were talking about for the city clerk, but I think if you're going to do anything with a city treasurer, you ought to do something with city clerk. I don't think you can know for sure that you're going to have the elected clerk also be a full-time employee. It might not, or it might be, but I think if it makes sense to have, I don't think you should leave her out.
We gave her cake.
Oh, well, okay, I'm sorry. I'll shut up.
My motion, the no. 400, was for both positions.
Okay.
So we're going to go with that. I'm going to.
I take that back. Yeah. It was a motion, yeah. My general musings.
I'm going to go by council consensus and recommendation of our treasurer that we'll apply whatever we have said with related treasurer. We're going to make it related to treasurer and city clerk as long as they're elected. So I think we have two options that we have consensus to bring back that we could vote on. Is that clear enough? I'm looking at our city attorney who's...
Yes, I think so. I mean, if we put into the staff report that you're going to vote on one or the other, mm-hmm. That would be sufficient notice to the public. I just don't know what I'm going to put into the ordinance, because typically when we draft an ordinance, it's one that you can adopt. Let me ask this. Is it correct that we're coming back to you with a report on the reimbursement of expenses?
Yeah, let me in. I know council is anxious to jump in, so let's take this very slow. First with, yes, I think let me ask you, because I think council's desire is to have something come back that we can vote on, because after we approve it, it's going to come back again for a second reading, is my guess.
Yes.
So there's going to be at least three times of discussing on this. Twice we'll be voting on it. So I think we don't want to have multiple iterations. So I think what I'm starting to hear from you is if we ask for more information back on certain things, that may mean we're adding an extra meeting, which I don't want to do. So, and I think there might be council consensus not to do that. But we're just, so let me just clarify with the city attorney. We'll get to Bob. He gets to be next. But is it clear that if we don't have exactly something down to an ordinance, we're going to have at least three or more meetings?
No, I think we can come back to you with a staff report which says that your options for the ordinance, we could have two ordinances, I think is how I would do it.
Yes.
Ordinance A would be for the, to make sure I've got these numbers right, for the council 600, for the mayor 750, and for city treasurer and city clerk 400. That's option A.
Yes.
Right. So I could draft an ordinance.
Yes.
It's draft ordinance A, and then I could draft an ordinance B, which would be, and as I understand it, 300 for council, 500 for mayor, and then what amount? I didn't hear under option B what amount for the city clerk or and city.
Well, it would
treasurer.
Be a slight increase because we're saying a higher percentage, I believe.
I didn't hear a number.
No, that's the same. Okay, so then no change for them.
No change. Okay, so they stay at 200.
No, so actually, that I would, that's not what I would say. I forgot about them. I'm sorry. We were focused on us. No, I would do 300 for them as well. I'd make them the same as council.
So is that?
So is that's okay with Bob? So our two options then have been.
All right. So I can draft two ordinances and present them in the staff report, and your choice then will be either adopt ordinance A with the dollar amounts you've specified, or ordinance B with the the other amounts that you've specified. The other issue is with respect to the health insurance. If you look to the draft ordinance that's in your packet, we do have under Section 3 of the draft ordinance a lot of provisions with respect to the elected officials. That would be the council, mayor, clerk, and treasurer, and that you would receive basically the medical insurance, dental insurance, and vision for you only and not for dependents. And then there's some other provisions in here about how you would be entitled to life insurance, that you could not receive cash in lieu of benefits, that the city will not pay providers on behalf of elected officials, that you are required to participate in the retirement plan, that you're required to participate in Medicare, that the city will withhold federal and state income tax withholding, and that the city pays for workers' compensation. So all of those provisions we haven't discussed tonight, but they are in this draft ordinance. If you are, if the consensus of the council is to come back with this ordinance with those provisions, then I can do that. If you're going to do an option A and an option B again, like you just did with salary, then I would need to know, assuming what I just read to
you,
that's in your packet is option A, if there's some consideration of an option B, I'll
let me
to
take
know.
It from there, because I think we might be okay with just going with what's it. It just codifies what the practice is.
Exactly, and that's the feeling I think of the staff and the city attorney is that we need to clarify that, and the code is a good place to do it, rather than have it in a resolution. Or
okay, so my recommendation to council is we just go with that. If not, then we, just like we did with it, we can come up with a second option so the attorney can prepare that. So, Councilman Kelly, you still have your light on. Would you like to comment on any of this?
Yeah. I'm in no hurry to do this because it can't be implemented for another 18 months.
Exactly.
So I don't think there's any rush to get this done. And whatever is going to be put together, for the most part, we're not going to have it in our hands till a Thursday afternoon or a Friday. And I certainly would want to have more time than maybe wasting my weekend before the next city council meeting. So I wouldn't mind coming back with what he has and discuss it before we formulate an ordinance and have anything in front of us to vote. There's no hurry to do this.
Well, I can certainly turn this around faster than that because I've already got the draft ordinance. So if there's a desire to have more time to review it, when is your next meeting?
July 14th.
I mean, I could turn this around.
July 14th.
I would just want some review time.
Yeah. Well, I would agree. I think what we could do, I think this is one of those things where you could take a lot more time and you won't have any more ideas. But what I would like to do is have a pretty firm, here's what we're going to vote on, and then allow just a longer period of public notice that we may sit on it for, I don't care if it's 3 months, but it's like, I don't want to kind of always have it fuzzy, like, well, we don't know. We're going to vote on one, two, or three things, and everybody can know about it, and they can think about it for months.
I just don't want to vote on it and say
it. Absolutely.
I wish I would ask.
Yeah.
The next day.
Yeah.
What we could do is, instead of bringing it back at your first meeting in July, is bringing it back in your first meeting in August, if you wanted there to be more lead time.
Well, what I'm saying, though, is I think we need to see it in its final form where it's published. It's almost like it's included in a staff report, you know, when it's ready, and then we may have a longer time before it's agendized. But that we want to have the public have a chance to look at it and talk about it.
Well, I'd have to defer to people that know more about this than me, but
I
can do for my part, and I'll defer to city manager and city clerk on the details of what can be done in terms of advance notice, but I can, by, let's say this Friday, prepare for you two ordinances. I can prepare Ordinance A, which has the 600, 750, and 400 option,
yeah,
and all the other provisions as written here under benefits, and then Ordinance B, which has the 300, 500, and 300, and then all the benefits as in your packet here. And I could commit to having that by, you know, Friday. And then in terms of how much notice is given to the public about that, I mean, presumably they, you know, for everybody who's watching the meeting tonight would have heard about it, and I don't know, I'll have to defer to the city manager and city clerk as to what additional advance notice might be given to the public. I guess it could be posted on the city's website. My agenda report could be posted on your website, you know, next week.
Yeah, I think we could give it some. I think it's good to go ahead and agendize it. We can also always say we're going to put it off longer if there's really any concern raised, because I think we'd all agree of, hey, if there's concern raised in the community, we'd take more time. I have a feeling it's not going to be something that's of major concern. I've brought this up publicly a number of times, and it's not something that people have gotten real excited about so far.
Well, you've got your meeting on July 14th, and you got a meeting on August 11th. So I guess if you could give direction as to which of those meetings you want this to come back to you.
Well, if you can have it in the final form soon, and then we have it on the August meeting, that gives a little extra time. Is that something?
Maybe we should ask the city manager what she's looking at in terms of heavy agenda or not.
Excellent question.
August.
I think that right now both of those meetings do have space that you can do this. On the 14th, the big item that you'll be tackling, in addition to a couple of other minor items, will be branding, a continuation of our special meeting that we had.
That's the July meeting?
That is the July meeting.
And I just soon not do this there because I want to be focused on that.
Yes.
So
the August meeting at this point is a little bit lighter. We will be trying to fit a special Eagle Ranch meeting in, but I think it'll be after the August 11th meeting. So I think you'll be fine on the August 11th meeting.
By consensus, then, can we go with, we'll have it as soon as the city attorney can create those two clear, ready-to-vote-on options. It'll be publicized, and then we'll have it agendized for our August meeting. And obviously, if we think we need more time, we can always extend it, but I have a feeling we'll be ready.
I have another question. Do you want us to bring back to you a report on reimbursement policies?
We can. The critical thing is the stipends, which is once you vote on it, you can't change it. The other items we can revisit, I assume, because it's more of a operating.
And what I'm hearing then is you do not want us to bring you back a report until you give us direction to do so on reimbursement.
Time permitting, as I'm looking at this, it looks like Pass Robles has the reasonable expense, and then Pismo Beach has got their lineup. I don't know if you could just do a cursory inquiry of how that works.
We can do whatever level of inquiry you want. My question is, are you asking us to do it?
I think we're okay with the existing policy. We just need it to be clarified and applied to council. And I think what I'm thinking is if you could define for us a little more what a reasonable, where is it on PASO, reimburse reasonable expenses.
Why don't we do this? If you don't want that, though, on the same meeting as you have the
We don't need to because we can handle that separately.
Why don't we do this? Then at a meeting later this year, we will come back to you with a report with regard to reimbursement policy, your existing policy. There are some specific government code sections that address this, and we'll try to see what the deal is with this reasonable expense, and it'll be a discussion item only.
Well, and this is just an idea. I may be wearing out my welcome with counsel, but I think Heather and Bob have more opinions on this than the rest of us. Is that something we could defer to the Finance Committee to kick that around a bit and then come back with a recommendation if we need to change anything?
I'm only interested just in clarifying what ours are, if there's any questions, and that's
okay.
It. I'm not interested in knowing what others do and changing it and getting more.
Okay.
I just, if any of us have questions of what is our actual, the information's there, let's look at it and know what it is. That's all I'm interested in. But if there's a consensus to go elsewise, then go
okay.
ahead.
I think there's consensus just for clarity, maybe a report back. What exactly is our policy, how it applies to us? Maybe we're okay. Maybe we just don't understand that and start there.
So did you want that report coming back to the council or is it going to Finance Committee?
I think it's coming back to the council.
Okay, at some point later this year.
I don't think that's what you said, Tom, if I understood. Maybe.
Well, please
maybe
tell
I'm
me what I said.
But if we're asking for clarity, maybe what
yeah.
we need is a sheet to come from somewhere in the staff that says what it is, and then we'll know if we need to bring it back.
Honestly, I don't even know why it needs to be a public meeting, and
right.
I don't mean that it doesn't need to be public. It is public. It's probably in HR of here's what you can get, so we can each in our individual meeting say what's the HR code and get the information that we need to know what our reimbursed expenses
it's
are.
Already there. I mean, yeah. But I know what I can get reimbursed for as far as traveling and going to, you know, meals and what have you. That's pretty simple. You know, my concern is the day-to-day stuff that we actually use that costs us money out of pocket. How you balance that maybe with the stipend or something.
I think maybe we're getting there. We think we have sufficient policy in place on the reimbursement. If you need to know more, you can talk to staff. There's a little question about some of these other things that I personally would not want to get meshed in because I think it gets convoluted when you've got a stipend for cell phone, for example. I don't want any of that stuff personally because I think it kind of muddies what's city business and what's private business. So I'm not interested in any of that. So is anyone interested in that portion? I think Councilman Kelly is, but if no one else is interested...
You know, I'll just look into it myself.
Yeah.
And if I find anything that I think is worth talking about, I'll
bring it up. Yeah, and let staff know because I think you know if Bob finds something that is worth researching, we'd want to hear that back. But let's rely on you. Pin something down that maybe. Well, let's take a look at that. I'd be okay with that, Councilman Moreno.
So two things. So you're going to bring back two ordinances with the two different numbers, but there apparently was request for information on the benefits and looking at the medical benefits and what they're, so that can't be solidified. So what we're saying is next time you're going to bring back two ordinances just with stipend and that'll be a vote.
No, because no. I think he said he could do the medical included for both.
But what I heard from you, and tell me if I misheard,
yeah.
that you all wanted how much does it cost if we do a family? How much is it if we do a family with medical and I'm sorry, with dental and vision? And so I don't need that, but if the majority of you do, that's totally fine, and we want to go through this process. But if that is all needed, that can't be incorporated, and we can't have eight different ordinances that we may or may not adopt.
That was why I made my statements 20 minutes ago, which was asking about the benefits, and I read through them, and
right.
I said it was my understanding, based on the conversation I was hearing, was that you were okay with what this draft ordinance said on benefits.
Yes.
And that the only variable was the salary. And if I misheard, then somebody needs to tell me because I'm writing this.
Oh, yeah. So you guys just want the information is what you're asking for.
Well, let me defer to Councilman Fonzie, because I think you, Brian, and I are okay with the recommendation by staff. Councilman Fonzie, you maybe want to look at something different, which we would support.
I think that the full medical insurance is too expensive. We can't really go there. I think we all agree.
Yeah.
The dental and vision might be of interest. There's two members now that are using it, so that might be one we want to talk about.
What's the price on that? Because you'd said it's already included for council. The question is, if you add that for family, you had a number, I thought.
Yes, so that ends up being about $80 a month more for family, and I'm not sure how many of you have family versus employee plus one. So that's $80 a month more, which ends up being about $960 a year per council member. If you're looking at just employee plus one, you and a spouse, that ends up being around $37 to cover that for employee plus one for dental and vision.
Is that more than we currently have? Do we just have employee only now?
We just have employee only. So that might also be a compromise there.
So employee plus one would be a step more. Is that something? As a compromise, do we want to just look at that to get it down to one policy? We just bump that up slightly and you could do employee plus one for dental and vision. Yeah, it's very expensive day. You know, we're doing employee only for medical and dental and vision. We're adding plus one for just dental and vision would be a possibility. Yeah, for one more person.
If we're thinking future here, I wouldn't say just plus one. I mean, if you have somebody with a family, okay, me and my spouse are going to have plus one, and then we're going to go get our kids insurance somewhere else. I think you do it or you don't.
Yeah. So I'm not sure that we're definitive on that.
I'm okay with adding
plus one.
Plus one or plus family, whatever, employee independence. For dental and vision, I'm okay adding that. I don't know how often it will get used. I think it's fairly reasonable. If that is something that others are looking for, that think could be a benefit, I don't know. It doesn't apply to me, so I'm
having
a hard time.
Yeah, I understand it doesn't apply to you, so it isn't the same. And it isn't a huge deal, actually.
Yeah.
It's just that often families are covered by medical insurance, but sometimes they don't have vision and dental.
That's true.
So it would be nice, and I think you're right. It should probably be family, and put it on there. It's an extra benefit that they may not have, and it would be helpful. Yeah.
And that's something that's already offered to staff. So we're just codifying this. Is that something you could support, Bob?
Sure.
So I think it's my preference we get down to two clear options, and it's primarily differentiated by a difference in stipend. But we're saying, yeah, medical for employee only, and then dental and vision for employee plus family.
Okay.
And it's optional. You don't have to take it.
Right.
But if someone needs it, that could be a benefit. Now, are we all okay with that by consensus? Okay, so let me just make sure we got those two really. You're done with those two is bringing back something that could be voted on.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Go ahead, Councilman Fonzie. Why? Wow. Councilman Moreno.
Wow. Okay. Mr. Perrick, the 300 that's on the table, will that read, is that considered a no increase, or is it considered a reset at 300?
That would be no increase. You would just, the way I'll write it is that the salary will remain at 300.
And you're just
That's what I prefer, because if we ended up different, I would hate for future councils to be in hot water, or not hot water, but be in a bad situation because of a decision we made.
It's a very good point, and I think that's good. So all you're doing is acting on the mayor and the city treasurer and city clerk, and the mayor doesn't have the same, none of the other three have the same restriction anyway, so it's kind of works for everybody. You've kept the right that future councils could adjust that. So that's, I think, was a good strategy. Well, I think we actually have it down to two clear choices.
Yeah, good on that. What about the reimbursement?
And we'll go ahead and have those priced out, written up, available, and we will just have it agendized for the August meeting. Gives plenty of time for some discussion. And any other council comments on this item? Then our staff were done with item 5. It's clear enough to go forward.
Yes, thank you, Mayor.
Very good. Well, then we will move on to management reports, which there are none. I'm guessing we can dispense with council announcements and reports, except for Councilwoman Moreno, just so I can say, Councilwoman Fonzie.
Excuse me. Go ahead. Can I interrupt for just 1 second?
Yes.
Just a point of clarity. On the increased benefit for the mayor, would that become effective in January of 2017, just as it was proposed in the ordinance?
That's the next election cycle.
Fine with me.
And same with the treasurer and city clerk, or earlier than that? I didn't hear you.
She said give it to me in August.
I would go ahead and just do them.
As soon as the ordinance becomes effective?
Yeah.
Okay, so that'll be 30 days from the second reading.
So actually, they could be making more money than us if the one passes.
So that's true. I think
Marsha and Jerry will be
treating us. That might be a good idea. Yeah.
So is that a consensus?
I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you do it all on 1/1/17? Do you do them
no,
now?
No, I'd say just go. Since the council's staying the same, I would just say do them as soon as the ordinance is through its paces.
If council's the same. I'm saying regardless of whichever one goes through, whether it's 600 or 300, do we say clerk and treasurer go at the same time, or they go right away regardless of which one we pass?
Well, I will say, as far as the mayor, that we really didn't revisit this when we created an elected mayor position, which we probably should have. So I've actually gone through two election cycles where we haven't considered this.
Right.
And so it's not like it's something new. We haven't waited 30 years like council, but I do think you could move ahead. How soon you move ahead, I would do probably, I don't know, I won't offer any other opinion than that, because I think you guys could take a look at that. But it seems to me with the mayor, those three, you could decide whatever you want to decide that evening, because it's not has the same requirement as council.
Well, but I think it needs to be in the ordinance.
Yeah,
so.
I'd have to put it in the ordinance. I need to know the effective date of the salary increase.
Okay.
So I'm gonna rescind what I said, and let's just make everything consistent at 1/1/17 would be my recommendation.
So I think there's consensus on that.
Everybody's on the same boat.
There you go.
Okay, I think that's it. Go ahead, Councilman Fonzie.
Okay. There's really only one thing that I need to tell you about, although I can tell you about the Air Pollution Control District and others. The LAFCO meeting definitely involved Atascadero. They're talking about the proposed boundaries, not decided, but proposed only for the Paso Robles Groundwater Basin District. And so there were two options. One is the existing boundary would include Atascadero, and the existing boundary would not include Atascadero. The vote was that it would not include Atascadero, but it would include Atascadero into the sphere of influence. And perhaps our planning director, interim, would like to explain a sphere of influence from the planning point of view.
So the sphere of influence would still be outside of the city currently, but it would be the potential ultimate boundary, ultimate limit for the city.
Correct. And it's not certain whether it would actually include a portion of Atascadero. I think that would be the case, and it would run down the Salinas River and could impinge in one way or the other. It's very nebulous right now, but I want you to be aware of it, that I will be bringing it back. There will be further discussion about how Atascadero plays into this. This would also be Templeton. This would be Santa Margarita and Garden Farms. So the state boundaries for the groundwater basin is different than the actual geological boundaries on the Fugro study, which is the term that they're using. The Fugro is more recent, is more accurate, is more scientific, and we want to stick with that one. And whether we're included in the sphere of influence is something we need to know about well in advance, because if we are sucked into this and have to pay for pastorables, water, or studies or other things, it could be very expensive. So I just wanted to let you know things are moving forward. There will be a meeting in Paso Robles in the evening come the end of August, and it's going to be a very busy time for LAFCO with a lot of discussion.
Thank you. And I believe this mic is working. I'll give it a try. So I don't think there are any other reports and nothing from staff. So we are adjourned. Thank you.